Hi, this is Rob Burrows for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, inviting you to our annual Black and White Boondocker Ball. Dinner and dance and costume contests, Saturday, October 5th at the Anderson VFW Hall in Anderson, California. Live music, buffet dinner, and live auction. Sponsor tables are $500. Tickets are $35 each. For more information, call 378-2280. That's 378-2280. We'll see you there.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004. But our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You'll never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Cigars, spirits, and diversions. The Cigar and Pleasure-Friendly Hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
The war on men, the war on meat continues. We will get to it today. We celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month. We've got a great special guest, our number two today, Jackie Zykin, the master taster at Old Forster Bourbon, joining us from Kentucky. Interesting background. She's responsible. She's the face of the brand, if you will, kind of an ambassador, but also is involved with tasting with the master distiller. Make sure that Old Forster tastes the way it should, involved in the single barrel bourbon program. We're excited to talk to her. Unique story as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month, and I am looking right now at four magnificent bourbons that I will enjoy from Old Forster, including the Birthday Bourbon 2007. Can't get it anymore. Off the charts. Long Ash, greetings and salutations. A Long Ash snappy salute. Semper Delectatio. Always pleasure. Long live the Alpha. Make America great again. Make masculinity great again. Screw the enemies of pleasure. Screw the enemies of plastic. Screw the enemies of meat consumption. As always, your five-star global general and alpha male in chief, front and center from Command Center Alpha in the Cigar City. As always, make sure that you follow me on social media. Go to CigarDave.com, upper right-hand corner, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter. My number one preference, but we post everywhere, Twitter at Cigar Dave Show. Send me emails, written communications, CigarDave@CigarDave.com. The story you're about to hear is true. The names have not been changed as to not protect the guilty. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. The man who loves to welcome everybody. The man who stood up when someone asked a question on behalf of all mankind. He stopped that person and said, excuse me, let me pause right there. People kind. We don't use the word mankind, people kind. Mr. Political Correctness Extraordinaire, PC number 1A in Canada. Eh? Well, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau had a little splaining to do, it seems. That 19 years ago, when he was an adult, at various parties appeared in blackface. Photographs, videos have turned up from Time magazine. Here's what Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, a contrite PC Justin Trudeau, had to say.
This is something that I deeply, deeply regret. Darkening your face, regardless of the context or the circumstances, is always unacceptable because of the racist history of blackface. I should have understood that then, and I never should have done it.
Now, according to Mr. Political Prime Minister Correctness himself, if you darken your face sitting outside, like I like to get a little sun, a little vitamin D, just get a little color on my skin, apparently now that is taboo. But we know what he's talking about. Blackface. You don't need to be of privilege or white privilege or any sort of privilege to know as an adult that you don't do it. The only exception, I would say, is if you are impersonating such as Frank Caliendo, who is a great master impressionist, does a lot of sports figures, does Charles Barkley. It's terrible. It's just terrible. You're knucklehead. He appeared with Charles Barkley, all cool, looking exactly like Charles Barkley. That's acceptable. But to do it in a party in that sort of form is unacceptable. You don't need to hide behind privilege to say, oh, I was privileged. I didn't understand that. I didn't realize it. Please, come on. You know better than that. Justin Trudeau, Mr. Political Correctness himself, Mr. Let's Welcome Everybody, Mr. We don't use the term mankind, it's people kind. Now all of a sudden, Mr. Contrite. He was an adult when he did this. He's in big trouble. Or as Charles Barkley would say, it's terrible. He's a knucklehead. Now, in the spirit of transparency, because as we know now, pictures can come out many years after the fact, pictures, videos. I must come clean, something I did in college, and I ask that you listen to what I have to say, because I want to be perfectly clear and total candor, total transparency, something I did my freshman year in college. For Halloween, what I came dressed as. To be perfectly candid, because pictures may come out. I know I have some pictures of it. Pictures may come out. I don't know. Time, the Washington Compost, the New York Slime, maybe one of the networks may come out with it. They may find it and expose me. Back in October of 1986, as a freshman at Syracuse University, Lawrence and Hall, in the dormitory, we had a Halloween party. And I want to be very clear what I came, my costume was. Again, coming clean, transparency, because pictures may come out. For that Halloween party, I came as Playboy founder Hugh Hefner. And I had two hot bunnies next to me that actually looked like Playboy bunnies. They had ample décolletage and rackage and stackage showing. They had the bunny costumes with the little cottontail on the back, short little costume showing their rack, showing their legs. I was dressed in a robe. I had a working pipe, I might add. You could use the pipe and smoke it back then in 1986. And I walked around with both dames on my arm, both freshmen as well. Everybody loved it. But I know there are pictures that are going to come out, could come out. I've got pictures. There could be videos. I don't know. But I want to be transparent and clean. And I also want to be very, very candid that in no way, shape, or form would I ever in a million years apologize for going as Playboy founder and publisher Hugh Hefner, the man that loved to put gorgeous dames buck naked in the magazine. And subsequently in videos, the man who championed the beauty of the naked female body, the man who was a perfect champion of men being men and male humor. Great interviews, too. Great articles in the magazine. But let's face it, back then, I preferred much more looking at the hot dames, the pictures, than the articles. Although the articles and the interviews, exceptional in many cases, in most cases. So I'm coming clean. I dressed, I went as Hugh Hefner. I had the ascot on. I had the robe. I had the pipe. And I had two bodacious, beautiful, lovely freshman co-eds, one on each arm, wearing Playboy attire. I can picture it now, and I can tell you, absolutely magnificent. They loved it. I loved it. And if the pictures come out, if it's politically incorrect, So be it. No way in hell will I ever apologize. I don't apologize for being a male. I don't apologize for being a man. I don't apologize for being an alpha male. I don't apologize for being a male that appreciates gorgeous dames. I also don't apologize for being a perfect gentleman with great manners. The war on men continues. Monday night, Washington Square Park in New York City, Elizabeth Warren makes a big speech. The war on men, very apparent.
We are not here today because of famous arches or famous men. In fact, we're not here because of men at all.
Nice political calculation to essentially tick off, denigrate, berate 50% of the voting Americans. Very nice. No surprise. Now, she talked about the arches for a second. I thought she was doing her speech in front of McDonald's. Those are the really famous arches. But instead, she was in front of the famous arches that are in Washington Square Park. The arches that pay tribute specifically to, well, one man in general, and that is George Washington, a majestic 200-year-old arch where Warren set up her podium, her flag, her microphone, her campaign signage. It celebrates the founding father of the United States, George Washington, the first president, celebrates George Washington's inauguration as the first president of the United States in 1789. Very nice. Have a campaign speech right in front of the arches to celebrate George Washington, our great first president, founder of the United States, a great general, leads the Revolutionary Army to victory. And yet, Elizabeth Warren, in front of that arch dedicated to the great George Washington, denigrates and berates men. Hit that one more time, Sergeant Steve, please.
We are not here today because of famous arches or famous men. In fact, we're not here because of men at all.
So go after men. In fact, I suggest every male, whether you're a Democrat, Independent, Republican, Socialist, Communist, whatever, Elizabeth Warren doesn't like you, doesn't respect you, show the same respect. Don't vote for her, or lack of respect. Losing strategy. Hillary Clinton used that strategy, talking about deplorables abusing white male privilege. Nothing could be further than the truth. Male privilege or toxic masculinity, as these candidates, female candidates, like to assail men in general, did a great job in the Revolutionary War, did a great job in World War I, World War II, to save America from the Nazis and Adolf Hitler and from fascism. When we look at buildings, when we look at first responders, is that toxic masculinity when they're the first to jump into a dangerous situation? The answer is no. So here we have a privileged Harvard professor who made $300,000 or $400,000 a year at Harvard to teach, I think, one or two courses a semester, who blatantly lied using her own privilege to say she was of Native American descent. She was an American Indian, which was a load of poppycock. She used it on every job application from the time she was in the workforce and used it to get a $300,000 or $400,000 a year cushy gig as a Harvard law professor. So please, let's not talk about toxic masculinity. Let's talk about fraudulent, toxic femininity. That's exactly what Elizabeth Warren displayed when she used the guise of being an American Indian, because my pawpaw said that our cheekbones were high. Baloney. And going after the founding fathers, going after men who build buildings, the skyscrapers, men who were the first in flight, men who drilled for oil. Oh, I'm sorry. Oil now, fossil fuel is evil. Even though it's amazing, all these candidates don't walk or bike anywhere. They use airplanes, and they use motorcades, and they use limos. Isn't it amazing? Again, don't do as I say. Don't do as I say. Or do as I say, don't do as I do. So that's exactly what they want. Do as I say, not as I do. Elizabeth Warren going after men. Identity politics will not work, did not work in 2016, will not work in 2020, and she will tick off more men. But again, this seems to be the rationale. Let's bash men. Men are evil. Men are the root of all problems. We're not here because of men. Actually, Lizzie, you are here because of men. Because if a man didn't shtup your mama, that supposedly had the high cheekbones, or your papa, or whomever it was, you would not be here. Good luck with all females. Let's see how they'd be able to procreate without any male spermatozoa. Let's see how that works. Now, there's also an attack on meat. There's an attack on carnivores. There was a big climate change conference. Everywhere you look around, we have a climate change conference, climate change town hall. Again, we know that climate change is absolutely nothing more than a small group of bureaucrats and government officials and elitists who would like to redistribute the world's wealth using climate policy. An entire generation now of children and college students is brainwashed into thinking that the weather is going to kill them. That's really what it boils down to. So at this particular town hall or climate change conference that was moderated by Ali Velshi, another piece of work, another total cockamamie clown from BSNBC, he had Andrew Ying Yang on. And he was asked a question about beef and whether beef should be a part of our diets.
Hi, I'm Addison Dyer. I'm a sophomore at Georgetown studying healthcare management. And my question was, realistically, the only way to curb expansion and reduce the environmental impact of the cattle industry is to reduce demand. What policy adjustments would you make to reduce this demand?
I'm glad you asked that, because we wanted to talk about food and the rate at which agriculture, not everybody thinks about this, is a major contributor to CO2.
Now, cattle is very energy consuming and energy expensive. And if you project forward on what we would need to do to reduce emissions, you would want to modify Americans' diets over time. Now, some of that is happening naturally through education. I do think it's difficult to regulate diets. So what you would want to do, again, is you'd want those cattle producers to have to internalize the cost of emissions. Because if your cattle ends up polluting a lot, which they do just naturally, we don't hate them for it. I mean, they're just big animals. Don't hate the cattle. Hate them, whatever. So then what that would naturally do, and some people are going to hate this, but it would probably make those products more expensive. And that is appropriate, because there's a cost to producing food in that way. And so if you were to make it more expensive, then you would end up changing consumption patterns.
So what they say is, we want to modify diets. How do they want to do it? By taxation. Every time you look around, one of these Dem candidates, taxation. Let's tax the wealthy. Let's tax meat eaters. Let's tax if you breathe. Let's tax if you drink water. Let's tax if you fornicate. Let's tax if you smoke a cigar. Let's tax if you drink a libation. Let's tax if you use a grill. Let's just tax, 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 till we run out of money and there is no more money for taxation. And I love what he says. We need to modify diets. No, what he's saying is, we want to regulate diets. That's exactly what they want to do. They want to continue the indoctrination. The indoctrination that cattle, that meat, is responsible for an overwhelming majority or a huge percentage of climate change. Did you hear Ali Velshi? Oh, I'm glad we got to this, because agriculture, a huge, huge part of the problem. No, it's not. No, it is not. And the United States is not a big part of the CO2 emissions problem. Climate change contributes 14% of the world total. China and India, by far, number one. They are doing nothing to stop it. We could stop every CO2 emission today, and it wouldn't make a difference. And amazingly, we had all these hurricanes and storms and earthquakes going back hundreds of centuries ago. Some of the worst hurricanes occurred in the early 1900s. That was before there were fossil fuels used, before there were cars, before there were trains and planes. How do you explain that? Ah, simple. It's the sun heating the earth. It happens. It is a natural occurrence. It has been going on that way for millions, or correction, as Carl Sagan would say, or Bernie Sanders, billions and billions and billions of years. Billions of years. So, Andrew Yang, yes, we don't hate cattle, but we need to rein it in. And this is the question from this Georgetown or George Washington University sophomore. This shows that an entire generation of high school students, grade school students, college students, they're brainwashed. I heard one of them appearing before Congress earlier this week saying, our generation is scared. We're afraid. We're afraid to have families. We're afraid to work. We get out of bed and it's depressing. This is nothing more than indoctrination on college campuses. Pure and simple. Interesting email I received from Lieutenant Darren. And he said, General, listen to your show on September 14th. And you had a great discussion on the BS of eliminating fossil fuel that the left keeps preaching. I farm for a living, have close to 2,000 acres on my farm, which is small, middle class, to try to identify the size, if you will. Basically only 3 square miles. I personally burn around $40,000 of fuel every year to grow crops. How is everyone in the country going to eat if farmers can't have fuel, and how will it be delivered to processors and ultimately trucked to consumers? Just food for thought. I thought you may appreciate, because last time I looked, everyone eats. May affect your libations as well, since corn is a huge ingredient in whiskey. Love the show. Keep up the great work. Just a typical Midwest conservative farmer's opinion. Lieutenant Darren, I greatly appreciate that opinion. And you are right on the money. People have to eat. Do you think if all of a sudden we say, no more meat, just go to a vegan diet, that's going to put increased pressure on farmers to grow more crops? Growing more crops, more fertilizer, you're going to have more fuel. That's how it works. And what is interesting is that a study by researchers at the Johns Hopkins Center for Livable Future came out this week that scientists found diets in which meat, fish, or dairy consumed only once a day would leave less of a footprint on climate change and water supply than a vegetarian diet, including milk and eggs, in 95% of countries they analyzed. Again, total nonsense, total BS that is propagated by a small group of elitists that would like to control your behavior, redistribute wealth, using climate change as a rouge, as a guide. Everybody's being brainwashed. Yet, these elitists still fly in their own private planes. They still drive in limos and burn fossil fuel. Do as I say, not as I do.
The Cigar Dave Officers Club selection for September is the Plasencia Almadel Combo. This complex smoke is creamy with a touch of spice. The Plasencia Almadel Combo has notes of coffee and nuts while leaving a lasting impression on your palate. Want these cigars shipped directly to you each month? Log on to CigarDave.com to join the Officers Club.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR. Now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now. A lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name, knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Beta males run on tofu. Alpha males run on meat. Steak, cigars, and Cigar Day, the trifecta of pleasure.
The enemies of meat, the enemies of carnivores, are out in force. We talked about Andrew Yang at the BSNBC Climate Change Conference that took place Thursday and yesterday at Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. So basically, Andrew Yang says, yeah, we need to modify diets. We need to tax to change people's diets. We have seen every candidate come out and say, we've got to get away from meat. When asked at any of the debates, they all spew the same line. Oh, we know that meat, that cattle produces massive amounts of CO2. We need to go to vegan diets. Yet, mark my words, they'll still eat their cheeseburgers, they'll still eat their juicy steaks, but the peons, the rest of us, they'd love to see us go to a vegan type of diet. Remember, the hypocrisy runs rampant with these elitists. Do as I say, not as I do. They'll eat the meat, but make you become a vegan. And Stephanie Ruhle on BS NBC, couple of days ago, has the audacity to spew this.
Republicans like to paint the most ambitious plans as those led by wingnuts, making it look like Democrats want to take away your straws, your ability to fly in an airplane and take your cheeseburgers away. We know none of those things are actually true.
Yes, they are, you dumbass. They are 100% true, you blatant liar. Dems have already stated, and they are nutcases. They've already stated, we got to get rid of straws, plastic bags, plastic straws. We're seeing it, a legislation being enacted in every state municipality now. Straws are evil. Plastic is evil. They do want to take away your cheeseburgers. I love when Kamala Harris, when asked about it, said, yeah, we really should look at that now. I got to be honest, I love eating my cheeseburger now and then. They always have a caveat. Bernie Sanders, look, I think we have to do it. I've got to be honest, I do like eating meat. They all preface, or they all subsequently slip that in, I do like meat. Why? So that when they enact all this harsh regulation that you've got to be a vegan or tax your meat at unconscionable rates, that it's okay for them to still eat. And the Dems do want to take away your ability to fly because they've all stated, we're going to eliminate fossil fuels in the next 10 years. By 2030, we have to have total clean renewable energy. Okay, how are you going to fly? What are you going to do? Put solar panels on an airplane? I'd love to see an Airbus A320 or 330 or a Boeing 777 or 787 with solar panels or with a windmill at the top of the on the top of the fuselage. Not going to happen. But again, they'll still travel. They'll still fly, but you won't. Perfect example here. KLM, we talked about this, plane shaming now. That's a new thing going on in Europe. We're going to start seeing it here in the United States, that people are plane shaming others for flying on airplanes because of the carbon footprint, because of the contribution to climate change. Well, KLM has just announced, starting March 29th of 2020, they're replacing one of their five flights from Amsterdam to Brussels with trains operated by the French-Belgian high rail speed company Thalys. Now, it's a 20-minute flight, but it's a two-hour journey by train. I'd rather take the plane. 20 minutes, bing, bang, boom. And people say, well, you got to get to the airport an hour before. It's much faster to take the train. Most of the time, it isn't. But mark my words, that's the beginning. They'll say, we're going to replace it with one, then it'll be two, then it'll be three. Then you'll start to see all this plane shaming by all these climate change nutcases and wackadoodles. And all the airlines in Europe will say, okay, anything less than a 30 or 40 or 50-minute flight we'll replace with trains. You're going to start seeing this. So do the Dems, do these climate change wackadoodles want to take away your plastic straws? Yep. They want to take away your right to eat meat and your cheeseburgers and your juicy steaks. Yep. They want to take away the ability to travel by plane. Yep. But by the same, in the same breath, they say, by 2030, we're going to go totally to clean energy. And all these candidates saying there will be no more fossil fuel combustion engine cars on the road in 10 or 15 years. Really? Okay, let's assume, and I've stated this before, let's assume that every combustion engine is replaced, every combustion engine car is replaced with an electric vehicle. How do you power an electric vehicle? You have to charge that electric vehicle. You have to plug it into the wall and get 110 volt or 220 volt or 240 volt power. Well, how is power? When you plug an appliance into the wall, whether it's your refrigerator, when you recharge your phone and you put in your charger, how is that power generated? The number one method today is via coal. The second is natural gas. Then we have nuclear, hydro, and then we have wind and solar. There is not enough land to put solar panels in this country to power an entire nation that would totally be based upon an electric vehicle operation, electric vehicle infrastructure. Not going to happen. So all these things you hear are nothing more than lies to placate these nutcases so they can earn their vote and be as liberal as left and as absolutely extreme as possible. It is not realistic. Natural gas is clean burning. We have a ton of it. That's more realistic than saying we're going to go all electric vehicles. But remember, all these politicians, they will still use combustion engine vehicles and limos to transport them around. They will still use fossil fuels to power the planes that they'll travel on. But you and I need to eliminate the use of fossil fuels. So let's listen to Stephanie Ruhle of BS NBC Lie one more time. Take a close
look. Republicans like to paint the most ambitious plans as those led by wingnuts, making it look like Democrats want to take away your straws, your ability to fly in an airplane, and take your cheeseburgers away. We know none of those things are actually true.
I rest my case. They are most certainly true, Stephanie. A complete, absolute wackadoodle dumbass. When I tell you Stephanie Ruhle could be amongst the most stupid, she's probably right up there next to Don Lululemon of the Cartoon News Network, of the Clown News Network. Two of them are peas in a pod. Dumb and dumber. Actually, dumbest and dumbest is really what it is. So, yes, the wackadoodle Dems are going after your plastic straws, your cheeseburgers, your steak, and the fossil fuel that powers your planes and your cars. And speaking of another ignoramus, another incredibly stupid person, member of Congress, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC. By the way, I see that she's got a Democrat challenger and a pretty good Republican challenger as well. This is going to be good. I'm going to get the popcorn because I think they're going to cream her. I don't think people like her in her district. And from what I've read, she is very late to set up an office in her district, rarely makes people can go and see her or go see somebody in the office with their issues. Their number they have goes to a voicemail that doesn't get checked. Major, major problems for AOC. If she loses, geez, she's going to go from making about $160,000 a year back to slinging drinks again. What's she going to do? Again, she has a degree from, I think it's Boston University. Or BC, I can't remember. I think it's BU. Should be more like BS, because she knows nothing. Amongst the most ignorant people on the planet. At a public appearance on Wednesday. Again, existential crisis. Existential threat. Major climate change crisis. We have to do something. Here's her latest prediction of what's going to happen in the other cigar city, not Tampa, but Miami.
When it comes to climate change, what is not realistic is not responding to the crisis not responding with a solution on the scale of the crisis. Because what's not realistic is Miami not existing in a few years. That's not realistic. So we need to be realistic about the problem.
Yeah, let's be realistic, you schmuck. Let's be realistic. Miami's going to be here in 10 years and 20 years and 30 years. And do you know why I know it's going to be here? Why I know all the climate change is a massive hoax? Why it's nothing more than a de facto redistribution of the world's wealth? Why I know that grade school, high school, and college students are being brainwashed? Let's check the OCCD. That is the Obama Climate Change Doctrine. Barack Obama, 44th president of the United States, so concerned about rising tides and rising sea levels that he is about to close on a $15 million estate on the water, on the shores of the Atlantic Ocean, in Martha's Vineyard. Or as they say in Massachusetts, Martha's Vineyard. We're going to the vineyard. So let's look at the OCCD, the Obama Climate Change Doctrine. If he is so concerned about these rapidly rising sea levels, that literally cities will be wiped off, that Miami Beach, because of the rising sea level, will be underwater in 10 years, He's so concerned that he's about to plop down $15 million large to buy an estate smack dab on the Atlantic Ocean. That's why I know this climate change nonsense is just that. Absolute, blatant, poppycock nonsense. Fabricated BS. End of discussion. If it's okay for Obama to live on the water, by gosh, it's okay for you and I to live on the water. Because if he's so worried about it, he wouldn't be plopping down $15 million bucks. Amazing. Leaves office, gets a big Netflix deal, gets giant speaking fees, big book deals, and yet we as American taxpayers still pay for his Secret Service detail. We pay for an office. They get office stipends to pay assistants, mailing, all sorts of other nonsense. They come out leaving as multi-millionaires, and yet we Americans still picking up the tab. Unacceptable. So if Obama's going to buy a place on the water, feel free to buy one too. AOC's full of baloney. Miami's going to be there in 10 years.
Did you know that the city of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Come on in to Black Bear Diner, where the portions are bear-sized and the service makes you feel at home. With breakfast served all day, anytime's right to dig into our one-of-a-kind sweet cream pancakes, Bear Benedicts, or generous sides of thick-cut bacon and tantalizing sausage patties, house-made from our signature recipe. Whenever you do breakfast, do it at Black Bear Diner, because around here, every plate comes with heaping helpings of happiness.
Black Bear feels like home.
Hello, I'm Carlene Niver, and I would like to personally thank you for your support while we celebrate over 4 years of business at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar. I'm so proud and excited to see our growth with loyal and new guests alike. Those of you who know me know that I love great food, but more importantly, I love to enjoy myself wherever I go. And that's what my dining team and I strive for when you walk into Carlene's. As the weather transitions, don't forget to book our banquet room for any of your upcoming holiday needs. We also offer outside catering for any occasion. Open 7 days a week, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Happy hour from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., located in downtown Reading on Center Street. A pinch of patience, a dash of kindness, and a spoonful of laughter make for the best dining experience. I look forward to celebrating over 4 years of business with you at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar.
We celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month. Jackie Zykin, the master taster of Old Forster bourbons.
The General is now on Instagram. Follow him for pictures of the latest cigars, libations, and what he's enjoying during the show.
That could be interesting, and we'll have to block out some faces.
Go to Instagram and search Cigar Day.
America is under attack. Basic freedoms, privileges, and acts that we would normally take for granted are disappearing each day, including the simple ability to enjoy a cigar. This is Glenn Loop, Executive Director of Cigar Rights of America, CRA. At a time when elected officials should be thinking about education, public safety, and creating jobs, they are actually thinking about smoking bans, new taxes, and regulations of historic proportions on premium cigars. The cigars that provide us with pleasure, relaxation, and fellowship are under attack. We have to stop it. That's why Cigar Rights of America was created, to work for a new political day for cigar enthusiasts across America, to roll back restrictive laws and defeat onerous taxes and regulations that impact everyone from your local cigar shop to your personal humidor. For the price of a few great cigars, be a part of this effort to protect your right to enjoy a cigar without excessive taxation and cumbersome legislation. Go to cigarrights.org. Let's tell the government we've had enough. Join now, cigarrights.org.
The selections in the Cigar Dave Officers Club receive rave reviews from our members, and for good reason. We send out fantastic cigars, the latest and greatest to our members, new cigars, unique cigars, incredible vertical samplers of cigars, and we have a great selection for September 2019. We are featuring the Plasencia Alma del Campo. It is a beautiful Nicaraguan puro, Nicaraguan wrapper, filler, and binder. The wrapper is a beautiful milk chocolatey brown wrapper with some nice notes of cocoa, cedar, some beautiful notes of coffee. Your taste buds will absolutely love the Plasencia Alma del Campo. Become a member of the Cigar Dave Officers Club and get great cigars every month. Three great cigars like the Plasencia Alma del Campo sent directly to you. Go to CigarDave.com, click on Officers Club, and join my Officers Club and enjoy great cigars.
Hold it right there. Cigar Dave is back in 2 minutes. The General resumes hosting maneuvers in 1 minute. Quiet, please. Cigar Dave returns in 5, 4, 3, 2. With an unlimited and secure supply of pleasure sticks available for the General to enjoy, it's time for National Cigar Lightation Maneuvers.
Next hour, as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month, we'll be joined by Jackie Zykin, the master taster of Old Forester Bourbons up in Kentucky, and one of the four bourbons that I will be sampling from my personal private collection that I share very, very limited, only special occasions. When President Donald Trump won the election in 2016, the next morning at 8 a.m., with a good friend, I opened the bottle of Old Forester Birthday Bourbon from 2007, poured just a little bit, maybe a half a shot, in a whiskey snifter. We toasted the new president-elect, toasted the election, toasted that America would be made great, and so that is a very special bourbon. And so today for our interview with Jackie Zykin, I'm going to have a sample. I'm going to end our interview with that tasting. So I need a cigar that can stand up to it, a lot of flavor to it, a lot of citrus, some sweetness, some clove, some warmth, but I need a special cigar, a cigar that's as special as the Old Forester Birthday Bourbon that I will consume in the next hour. And I can think of nothing better than the Padron Family Reserve number 50. This was launched in 2014. I was at the Padron 50th anniversary party. It was September of 2014, one of the great nights I will always remember. Jose O. Padron, George Padron, Orlando Padron, the whole Padron family. Celebrated in Miami. I mean, there must have been 1,500 people there, maybe more. But cigars were flowing, libations, great time, great camaraderie, great friendships. And I love the Padron Family Reserve No. 50 Maduro. It's 5 inches in length with a 54 ring gauge. It is square pressed. Nicaraguan wrapper filler binder. An incredible, exquisite taste profile. Medium, medium full, incredibly smooth, exceptional. It's definitely a special occasion cigar. It's not an everyday cigar. At $27, definitely not an everyday cigar. But when you do decide that you want to celebrate a special occasion, or there is some sort of, some whatever, whether it is a graduation, whether it is a baby, whether it is a promotion, whatever the case may be, you will love the Padron Family Reserve No. 50. Also comes in a natural wrapper. I love the Maduro. I love the complexion, a little bit of sweetness, a little bit of the espresso notes. Can't go wrong. So I will enjoy the Padron Family Reserve No. 50. I smoke these rarely because they are hard to come by. But when I do, I savor it to the last puff.
Cigar-altering and highly sharpened leaf-exposing device.
Self-sharpening double-edged stainless steel guillotine ready to go.
Maximum BTU flame-throwing and heat-producing apparatus.
You can hear the giant jet flames from my Cigar Dave Malilighter Make America Lightate Again. Got it right in front of me. That's what I would use today.
Cigar pre-lightation checklist complete. No faults detected. Area clear of all enemies of pleasure. Approval to go throttle up in 3, 2, 1.
Perfect cut. I will toast the foot of this magnificent Padron Family Reserve No. 50 Robusto in the Maduro wrapper. They come in boxes of 10, about $270 a box, $280, something like that. But worth every penny. Buy a box, stick it away, use it for save it for special occasions. Let me puff and rotate. Oh yeah. Absolutely magnificent. Great draw. Love the feel of the square press in my hand. As I blow on the foot, perfectly even amber glow. Magnificent. And it is going to pair exceptionally well with my Old Forster 2007 birthday bourbon. So we will spend the entire hour with Jackie Zeichen, master taster of Old Forster. She's got a very unique story, very interesting story about her background, initially pre-med major, and found her way at going from St. Louis to Louisville and becoming a master taster, a brand ambassador, very, very involved in tasting, very involved in some of the blending as well. So we'll be joined by Jackie Zeichen, master taster, Old Forster, in the next hour. And I can't wait to sample all these four Old Forster bourbons that I have. Tell you what I want to do. Next week, there's some info I want to get to, because we're going to spend the entire next hour with Jackie. But we'll talk about Royal Agio. It was acquired by Scandinavian Tobacco Group, the parent company of General Cigar and Cigars International, Thompson Cigar, another big acquisition. They make the Balmoral cigar. We featured the Balmoral Añejo Exo Connecticut several months ago. Beautiful cigars. So we will talk about that. Davidoff's got some new cigars coming out as well. So we got a lot of items that we will get to next week. Actually, the week after, because next week will be our complete National Bourbon Heritage Month mega tasting with Sommelier Dave and Tommy Diadio from the Corona Cigar Lounge and Davidoff. Next hour, we'll be talking with Jackie Zeichen, master taster of Old Forster.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated.
not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Iowa Biden says Mr. Trump needs to provide details of that phone call.
I'm calling the president to release the transcript of the call. Let everybody hear what it is. Let the House see it and see what he did.
Meanwhile, in a tweet today, the president referred to a perfectly fine and routine conversation with Ukraine's leader, adding nothing was said that was in any way wrong. President Trump says he's in no rush to have a military confrontation with Iran.
I think I'm showing great restraint. A lot of people respect it. Some people don't. Some people say, oh, you should go in immediately. And other people are so thrilled at what I'm doing. And I don't do it for anybody. I do it for what's good for the United States, what's good for our allies.
But Defense Secretary Mark Esper says the attack on Saudi oil facilities earlier this month demonstrates Iranian aggression.
This week, I've been in dialogue with the Saudi defense minister and other partners about this latest attack. To prevent further escalation, Saudi Arabia requested international support to help protect the kingdom's critical infrastructure. The United Arab Emirates has also requested assistance.
The chief of Iran's powerful Revolutionary Guard says his forces are ready for combat and, quote, any scenario. For the first time since 1962, a Kennedy seeking a Senate seat in Massachusetts.
I'm here to announce that I am going to be a candidate for the United States Senate.
Joseph Kennedy III making his declaration to take on incumbent Senator Edward Markey in the primary for a seat once held by Kennedy's great uncle, Ted Kennedy, who was elected back in 1962. Check out more news, read more analysis, both at townhall.com.
Guys, waking up over and over to urinate is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to urinate at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free.
Call 1-800-424-7126.
Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now.
Call 1-800-424-7126.
Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer.
1-800-424-7126. 1-800-424-7126.
The Senate's number two ranking Republican is accusing Democrats of filibustering Trump judicial nominees at a record pace. Senator John Thune says that includes nominees who later won enough bipartisan support to be confirmed.
One was confirmed by unanimous vote of 94-0. Now, Madam President, if Democrats had a serious reason for their obstruction of the president's judicial nominees, they would not be repeatedly turning around and voting for them.
Despite the delays, Thune said just last week the Senate confirmed the 150th nominee. A federal judge in Maryland has refused to dismiss gun charges against a Coast Guard lieutenant accused of stockpiling weapons and drafting a hit list of prominent Democrats and TV journalists. That paves the way for 50-year-old Christopher Hassan to be tried in October on all four counts of the indictment. News and analysis at townhall.com. The money-losing Three Mile Island, the 1979 site of the United States' worst commercial nuclear power accident, was shut down Friday by its energy giant owner.
The end of the 45-year electricity-producing career of Three Mile Island Unit 1 came after Chicago-based Exelon tried and failed to get financial aid from Pennsylvania in the spring. Three Mile Islands Unit 1 opened in 1974 and was licensed to operate through 2034, but Exelon complained the plant was losing money in competitive electricity markets. Three Mile Island also faced particularly difficult economics because the 1979 accident that destroyed Unit 2 left it with just one reactor. Patrick Frost reporting.
Robert Boyd, journalist and former Washington bureau chief of Knight Ridder, who shared a 1973 Pulitzer Prize for coverage of Democratic vice presidential candidate Thomas Eagleton's exit from the campaign due to mental issues, has died. He was 91. More at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. Also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m. North State Now.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 a.m. with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51. Jefferson, state of mind.
Cigars, spirits, and diversions. The cigar and pleasure friendly hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
I am salivating, as in front of me I am looking at four magnificent, tasty, delicious Kentucky bourbons. And there's a very good reason why I have four different bottles of Old Forster. I've got the Old Forster 1870 90 proof, the Old Forster 1897 100 proof, a bottle of Old Forster single barrel given to me by Corona Cigar in the Davidoff Store and Lounge here in the Cigar City of Tampa, 90 proof. And a bottle of Old Forster birthday bourbon from 2007, 12 years old, initially distilled in the spring of 1994. I am salivating, and there's a good reason why I've got four bottles of magnificent Old Forster. Our guest this hour, as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month, Jackie Zykan, the master taster of Old Forster. And we welcome you back to the Cigar Dave Show, our number two, National Bourbon Heritage Month all month. And we are excited to have a very special guest to talk bourbon, a very unique guest. She's the master taster of Old Forster, Jackie Zykan, joining us up from Kentucky. Jackie, great to have you here. And I hope I'm not making you salivate at all the great Old Forster bottles I have in front of me right now.
You kind of are, but that's okay. It's pretty standard for just, you know, any day of the week. So it's fine. It's okay, though. I am kind of jealous. I will say I'm jealous that 2007 you've got going on over there.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll make you a deal. You give me a personalized tour of the Old Forster distillery and maybe share some special bourbons that are being aged, and I'll bring up this bottle, and we can enjoy a cocktail and a little cheers to celebrate.
Oh, well, you don't have to do that. I've got more than enough product to share with you, but you are always welcome to come up to the distillery, and I'm happy to take you on a tour. Absolutely.
Oh, wait a minute. Do you still have some birthday bourbon 2007 left?
I've got quite a few of them. I've tasted every year. We've done quite a few events across the country since I've been on the brand where we actually do every single vintage in a row. So I have my favorites. I have my certain years that I prefer more than others, but it's super special. Obviously, you're never going to find that bottle again unless you know, get on the interwebs, that's fine. But you're not going to find on a shelf. So these birthday bourbons are so unique, and they're so, so incredibly special that I want you to keep it, share it with people, I suppose, if you like them or not.
Absolutely. Well, I only use this for special occasions now. So, and only usually about a half a shot just on special occasions because it's that good. But Jackie, let's talk about your background. Really, as a master taster, you have to speak bourbon fluently. That's a great language for those of us that enjoy bourbon and Kentucky whiskey. But talk about your background and how you got with Old Forester way back.
Yeah, so obviously I did not grow up dreaming and doodling, one day I'm going to taste bourbon. I mean, had I known that that was going to be even an option, maybe, like, I would have. But I did not grow up with that mentality. I'm originally from St. Louis, Missouri. And, I mean, the bourbon boom is a somewhat recent thing, you know. So back when I first left St. Louis to come to Louisville, we had, like, Maker's, Beam, Turkey, and that was it. And people just called everything whiskey. You didn't say bourbon. You just call it Dewar's whiskey. You call it Jack whiskey. You know what I mean? Like predating like the really big, big boom. So I originally was on the path to go to medical school. And so I'm sitting on this chemistry degree and a biology degree. And things changed. We won't get into too much. But I made some, right. I don't know, some choices that I probably shouldn't have. Specifically getting married to someone I shouldn't
have. A tale we have heard often.
I thought I was going to go down this like weird vice path there, but no, it was just that. So we moved to Louisville for his job, which, you know, everything happens for a reason, right? So I end up here, really got no reason to be here other than to just like be here with him. So I started bartending again. I bartended my way through college, just to like sort of start to know people and have something to keep myself occupied with. And behind me on these back bars are hundreds of brown bottles, and I don't know what any of this stuff is. And this is 10 years ago, and I will be the first to admit I knew very, 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 very little about whiskey when I first moved to Louisville, and it just sparked something, and I fell in love and couldn't stop. So we separated, but I stayed in Louisville because I landed a job with a really great restaurant group here called Falls City Hospitality. And they had a bunch of different concepts. And every time they would open up a new bar or restaurant, I would go and open it for them. I would design their bar layout. I would do their cocktail menu. I would do all their staff trainings, all their buying, all of that stuff. So you're putting in about 92 hours a week, give or take, in a position like that. And brands come in. And one of the concepts was a whiskey bar. It's actually in downtown Louisville. One of the first whiskey bars to be down there. And brands would come in because a lot of them are based here and they'd be like, oh, hey, you know, we've got these guests coming in. Can you kind of like make a specialty cocktail for us for our dinner? Cool. Yeah, I got you. Oh, hey, also that drink was good, but we have this event coming up. Can you go to that event and make that drink? Sure. Got you. Yeah. We have to do a news segment about that event. Can you go and do that? Yep. Totally. Totally fine. I said yes to absolutely every opportunity that came my way. I did work for Heaven Hill, for Woodford, for Jack, for Four Roses. I was on part of that opening marketing team for Copper and Kings Brandy. I was the St. Germain brand ambassador. Basically, I don't sit still. So yeah, one day I got a phone call. Hey, your name came up in a meeting at Brown-Forman. Apparently they kind of need somebody for Old Forester that can both understand the science side, check, and understand the on-premise, the bar side, the cocktail side, check, check, check. So I met Campbell Brown for a drink. We had an old fashioned. He went outside on a phone call. Came back in and was like, would you like to work with Old Forester? And I said, absolutely. There's no other brand I would have jumped ship completely from that side of the industry for because I love it so much. But this is the only brand where I wouldn't have to go in and talk to people about it and ever have to make up some bull story. So,
and how long ago was that, Jackie, when you joined Old Forester?
Do what? That was 4 years ago.
4 years ago. Outstanding. Well, mm-hmm. You talked about wanting to go to medical school and have a chemistry and biology background. When you think about it, as we know, bourbon is used for medicinal purposes. So it does.
Our legal team would frown upon me saying that to you in modern times, but yes, the origination of this fine product was for medicinal purposes.
That is correct. So you've been with them 4 years, and tell us, as a master taster, what your job with Old Forester entails.
It's a lot of different stuff. Sometimes I'm doing interviews like this. Right after this interview, I actually have to head to Bourbon and Beyond to MC a stage. outside of that, half the time I'm on the road, half the time I am split between our corporate campus and our two distilleries in Louisville, Kentucky. Sensory analysis, descriptive analysis, things like that, quality control. When you come up with a new product, what's it going to be? What's the price going to be? What's the proof going to be? What's it going to taste like? Who's going to write the tasting notes? What's the signature cocktail that's going to go with it? What glassware are we going to use? All of that falls under me. So kind of like just responsible for ensuring that Old Forester stays quality, consistent, and that we're really, you know, we're staying true to who we are as a brand. It's really, really important. It's easy to get lost in trends, especially with a category growing as quickly as bourbon is. It's really important to have sort of this, like, true north of what your brand is and have people that are unapologetically sticking to it.
Jackie
and I'm a very
Zican,
unapologetic
master.
Person.
Exactly. Jackie Zican, master taster, Old Forester, joins us. Jackie, you are unique in that there's really not a plethora of women that are tasters and that are really in the bourbon whiskey business.
There are a lot of women in the bourbon whiskey business. You just don't ever see them.
We never see them, absolutely. Exactly. I mean, but it's towards the front of the house, if you will. How's that?
Towards the front of the house. Yeah. I mean, I guess it's a minority still. It's still in a lot of markets viewed as a very masculine product. So it is what it is. But I don't know. I guess I am very, very fortunate for the fact that I work for a company that on a daily basis doesn't make me feel like I'm a woman in the whiskey industry. I'm just in the whiskey industry, right? So it's a little bit different. I have this conversation with people constantly about, like, what's it like? What's it like to be a woman in whiskey? I don't know. What's it like to be you? I don't know. I don't feel it. But let me say this, though. That doesn't mean that I'm not appreciative of the efforts of those that had to deal with probably a whole lot of before me. I've got it really, really, really good. I have a dream job with a dream company and a dream brand, and I don't, on a normal day-to-day basis, really feel any differently about what gender I am walking into this category. But yes, back to your original statement after that tangent I just went on. Yeah, there's not a lot that you see, but I mean, I don't know. It is what it is, I guess.
Well, you know, I think you bring up a very good point, and I've always said this. People make a big deal. I'm the first this or the first that, whatever. I think most people, if you do your job well, nobody cares. Nobody cares
you're
a woman. Nobody cares
Thank
if you're a minority. You know, people, ultimately, and I always believe this, the job should be based on one thing and one thing only, merit. If you earn it, nobody cares what color your skin, what religion, what your gender. Nobody cares. I think sometimes today we make too big of a deal about those things. It is certainly unique in that you are in what, you're right, was a traditionally male-dominated industry. But, as you say, I think not only are there more women in the industry, there are more bourbon, female bourbon drinkers today, and just bourbon drinkers in general, no matter, like we said, what's your gender, what's your religion, what's your age. Bourbon and brown spirits have had a very, very rapid explosion over the last 15 years or so.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, and that's great. It really is a category that's opening up, and those, I hate to call them outdated mindsets, but kind of the purist mentality is starting to fade away, and it's starting to become a more approachable category where it's, that was one of the things that kept a lot of people from trying bourbon in the first place, is the pressure of, am I doing it right? Am I doing it wrong?
Right.
If you add something to it, then you've destroyed it. But it takes people that, you know, are a little bit more welcoming. Like at Old Forester, for example, we're very much like, however you drink it is the way you drink it. Or don't drink it. We don't care. That's cool, too. But in our opinion, you're not ruining anything by making an old-fashioned out of it. You've just made your old-fashioned that much better with a better quality base spirit. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a different mentality. I will say there was a big shift that it's not that women haven't always had a place in production or in a lot of the different aspects that touch these brands. But they didn't have a super strong voice in the marketing departments, and they're starting to more and more. And that is why you're starting to see more appeal to things, because otherwise you go way back, 50, 60s, and you've got a lot of brands being marketed from the viewpoint of specific individuals, assuming what other individuals want. But it's more authentic and it's more genuine now, and I think that's really creating a more organic growth for the category.
Absolutely. And we've got a picture that we have posted at CigarDave.com and our social media feeds of you sitting on a bar looking very comfortable right at home in the old Forester. Looks as though one of the tasting rooms. And you've got a glass.
The Atherton room.
There you go. And I've got to tell you, a lot of people would be envious sitting there with all that great bourbon behind you, and it looks as though you have mixed some sort of libation with either lemons or citrus. And I think one of the things, I enjoy bourbon neat. Sometimes I'll get a pre-prohibition ice block or ice cube that I like to put in my snifter or my whiskey glass. But I think what's very cool today is presentation. There's so many new cocktails, different libations that people can enjoy with bourbon. And as you said, there's no right, there's no wrong. It's like cigars. It's what you enjoy. It's personal preference.
Completely. 100% right about that.
And there's no reason to be snobby. We see so many people saying, oh, I'm a purist. You can't do this. You can't do that. Look, to me, I like my bourbon the way it comes out of the barrel, not with any sort of cinnamon or any citrus or anything like that. But there are people that do, and it's good for the brand and good for the business in general because that means they're making more aged great whiskey. So it is good for everybody. Jackie Zykan, Master Taster of Old Forester, our guest here as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month. Jackie, let's talk about Old Forester. It's a historic brand. It is the first bourbon whiskey to be bottled in the United States.
It is the first brand to be sold exclusively in a sealed glass bottle. That is accurate. There's a really fine reason for this, too. So back in the late 1800s, looking at a landscape of quote-unquote whiskey that really wasn't following any legal parameters. If it was brown and had a bite, you'd call it whiskey and move on with yourself. And if you got some, you got a prescription or wandered in, you actually take your own vessel, your own jug or what have you, and get it filled up from a barrel. That's cool and all, but there's a problem with that is that every single barrel, whether you've done anything to it or not, is going to be different and unique. So consistency is an issue. And also you can't see inside that barrel, and you can refill barrels pretty easily with whatever you want. Like I said, as long as it was brown and had a bite. So you're refilling it with tobacco spit and iodine and all kinds of crazy stuff and calling it whiskey. And so you've got doctors across the country prescribing this quote unquote medicine, and patients are getting sicker and they're complaining. And, you know, it's very much the wild, wild west of the whiskey world in the United States. So a guy by the name of George Garvin Brown is a pharmaceutical salesman, not a distiller, very transparent about that. And he sees this opportunity to actually improve the market because of all of these issues that I just talked about. So how are you going to solve the two main problems, quality and consistency? Well, for consistency's sake, you're going to have to blend. So he actually produced the first blended bourbon whiskey. Not blended as in blended whiskey we think of today, where you're adding grain neutral spirit or anything of that sort. Blended as in blend of different distilleries. So we blended from three different distilleries, Melwood, Mattingly, and Atherton. There's that Atherton. That room is named after that distillery, actually. So you're going to blend it. Then, obviously, with a blend, you can't sell it in a barrel, and you got an issue with that anyway. So if you seal it in glass, and this is predating glass molds, so this is a very expensive adventure. If you seal it and put a strip over the top, sign it, guarantee the quality, you've made some really big steps. And so that's actually what Old Forester was founded on, was all of that right there, of just making a quality and consistent product in a world of really, really nasty swill on the market.
Interesting. Now, when you look at Old Forester also, very interesting because, to me, it's a classic brand. It's one of those brands that sometimes people forget about, but about 3 years ago, Old Forester went through a rebranding, repackaging, where the bottles now really stand out on the shelves, and I believe Old Forester has benefited market share and certainly sales-wise from that with that whole program.
Absolutely. So the whiskey industry is tricky, right? You don't know where it's going to go. It could happen quickly. It could turn left. It could turn right. But you've already laid down product that you can't necessarily harvest out right away. So you make your best choices that you can. But we did, as a brand, you have to be able to step outside of yourself and look at the landscape you've set and go, okay, what could we do better? Like sometimes it's really hard to see the forest from the trees once you are in it. And so with the packaging, you'll notice that old package that we did discontinue about 3 years ago. And you can still find bottles floating around different markets here and there. But there wasn't a paper label to it. So it was printed on the glass. It was on a clear label. Anytime that liquid level drops below the brand name, you can't read the bottle.
Right.
There would be times when I would go into bars and be like, do they have Old Forester? I don't know. Oh, wait, 10 minutes later, oh, I found it. It's that bottle back there, which is great. You want people to drink it, but then there's this weird halting point once they got three quarters through that bottle where you couldn't read the brand name. So, yeah, we had to make some changes there, and we changed the bottle up a little bit and just did a little refresh. The brand is growing, double-digit growth, and it's not stopping anytime soon, and it was worth the investment to just kind of bring Old Forester into a modern phase.
Now let's talk about the mash bill of Old Forester. It tends to be a little bit higher on rye. So you've got 72% corn, 18% rye, 10% malted barley. So talk about that and how that impacts the taste, the flavor of the bourbon.
Sure. So you're right. It's a little bit higher than a traditional mash bill. In my mind, I always think of traditional mash bill being like your Heaven Hill mash bills. Where you are really corn dominant, but rye is just kind of like a nice little seasoning. With the amount of rye that we have, I don't necessarily put us into a high rye category. I save that space for things like Four Roses, Old Granddad, et cetera, et cetera. But the amount we have actually does a very, very, very good job of creating this nice spice backbone to the whiskey. So Old Forester is this characteristic flavor profile, sweet on the front, spicy on the finish, and actually a little bit dry. We achieve a little bit of a different end result because of our warehousing situation that a lot of people don't realize. So that mash bill is pretty solid. It gives us a little extra oomph in the spice category, but 72% corn is still nothing to, you know, to wave off. I mean, it's still going to give you a pretty, like, rich, robust, full body, a lot of texture and a lot of sweetness, but it balances out pretty well.
Well, and when, you know, it's interesting because I think most people, when they gravitate towards a bourbon, there's a certain characteristic they like. They may like a little bit of the spiciness, a little bit of the warmth. They may mm-hmm. like a little bit of the sweetness as it goes down, a little bit of the woodiness. And what my impression of Old Forester, it's got a little bit of sizzle, a little bit of spice, and you definitely get the notes from the barrel.
Oh, absolutely. So, and a lot of that, again, is due to our warehousing. So we do what is called heat-cycled warehousing. This is not climate-controlled warehousing. That actually takes place at OFD, but that juice isn't mature yet. So we'll talk about that in, like, 3 years at our next interview. But
Now what is OFD?
Old Forester Distillery down on Main Street. Sorry.
Got it. Okay.
In Jackie Land, there's OFD and BFD. So Old Forester Distillery is on Main Street on Whiskey Row. That's the new one. And BFD is down in Shively, which is a couple miles south of downtown Louisville. That is where all the mature Old Forester in a bottle today has actually been produced.
Okay.
So down at BFD, in those warehouses, they're heat cycled. So from about October, depending on how warm October is, through to about April, we go through cycles. We've got temperature probes on all the odd-numbered floors in the warehouse, floors 1, 3, 5, 7 of an 8-floor warehouse. There's a concrete slab every 2 floors, too. You've actually created these 4 nice little cells in your warehouse. They're made of brick and concrete. They're not open air. We don't get that top floor whiskey gets super, super hot effect. For us, we actually get more the outside barrels by the windows do more variance than the ones tucked away in the shadows in the center aisles. So from October to April, we turn the heat on, raise the temperature X amount, turn the heat off, let it drop. And we go through that up and down cycle all through the winter. It's basically the equivalent if I gave you a cup of hot water and just threw a tea bag in it and didn't touch it. Eventually, you're going to have tea, but if you sat there and dunked it, you're going to get there a little bit quicker. So we're speeding up that extraction that is going to yield a little bit more dryness, a little bit more tannin, and definitely a lot more oak influence for the age of the whiskey.
We're celebrating National Bourbon Heritage Month with Jackie Zycan, master taster of Old Forester. When we return, we'll start the taste test.
The Cigar Dave Officers Club selection for September is the Plasencia Almadel Combo. This complex smoke is creamy with a touch of spice. The Plasencia Almadel Combo has notes of coffee and nuts while leaving a lasting impression on your palate. Want these cigars shipped directly to you each month? Log on to CigarDave.com to join the Officers Club.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and low birth.
Have you been looking to purchase or refinance a home? Allow the team at Omega Mortgage Group to show you why so many of your friends and family, realtors and escrow officers, refer their clients to Omega Mortgage Group. Our low rates, simple application, fast escrows, and outstanding service really speak for themselves. Contact Omega Mortgage Group today at 223-1400 or visit us at omglending.com. Omega Mortgage Group is an equal housing lender. NMLS ID number 1253874.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Redding's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
How long I've been on? When you're drinking, the show looks good to you.
The great Dean Martin, and I'll tell you, he would be jealous of the four bottles of Old Forster I have in front of me, and we're rejoined by Jackie Zykan, the master taster of Old Forster, as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month, and thrilled to have Jackie on. Now, Jackie, let's talk about the lineup of Old Forester. And as I mentioned, I've got a bottle of Old Forester 1870, 90 proof, the Old Forester 1897, 100 proof, a bottle of the Old Forester single barrel, which is 90 proof, and we'll get into the specifics on that, and a bottle of the Old Forester Birthday Bourbon 2007. So let's start off with the Old Forester 1870 90 proof. Would that be correct if I said that's kind of your bread and butter of the Old Forester line? Is that your flagship?
I think it definitely represents a historical flagship for the brand, but as far as being a workhorse, our everyday 86 proof and 100 proof really kind of serve that purpose better. The 1870 was the beginning of this Whiskey Row series coming out. The whole point of that series being we can showcase a more premium side of Old Forester and at the same time help tell our story leading up to the opening of the new distillery on Whiskey Row. So the 1870 in my mind, the way it works, I always think of as being sort of the Goldilocks expression. It's perfect. It's not too strong for those who are getting into bourbon and are fresh to the category. It's not disappointing for those that are well-seasoned bourbon drinkers. It's just flagship Olfo flavor profile. Definitely.
Well, I'm getting some wonderful notes of citrus, some fruit, almost a little clove as well. I will say cheers, and I will take my first sip here. Definitely some pepper sizzle on the back of the throat. Some warmth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely getting a little bit of cinnamon, some sweetness with a little spice. It's very nice. Now, for some people that like a milder bourbon, this may be a little too much. But one of the things I recommend, put a little branch or water in it, and you can basically adjust it to suit your own palate.
Absolutely. With any and all of them, yes. But I will say that this Old Forester, outside of the 86 proof, this is the lightest-bodied Old Forester that we have. Because of that heat-cycled warehousing, you're adding on an extra 6 months of maturation per year of age statement, so you do end up with a pretty robust flavor profile.
So the Old Forester 86, that is what you would consider your flagship of the Old Forester line?
That is the workhorse, for sure.
The
That's
workhorse.
Our highest volume mover, for sure. That's not where the brand started. The 86 proof expression was actually introduced in the 50s after the introduction of blended whiskeys really exploded in a post-war era. So you have a lot of distilleries that were laying down barrels that then converted over distillation efforts for industrial-grade alcohol instead. And so, of course, how are you going to spread your inventory? You're going to add grain-neutral spirit once you can fire your stills up again. And voila, hence is born something that kind of changed the idea of what whiskey was. Highball culture starts booming, a little bit more cocktail culture starts booming, and it no longer is this diesel fuel cowboy juice. So we didn't release a blended whiskey with grain-neutral spirit in it, but we did release the youngest Old Forester expression that we could, which is 4 years old, and that is the 86 proof. It's meant to be light and bright and crisp. This 1870, though, that you got going on is a little bit of a different story. There's a little bit more body to that one, for sure.
No doubt about it. But that Old Forester 86, I see won the 2019 San Francisco Spirits Competition gold medal. Pretty good.
It's a pretty solid whiskey. I mean, we try. We try.
Absolutely. All right. So next from the 1870, what would you say is your next, or after the 86, what's your next biggest mover, your biggest seller?
The 100 proof everyday does really, really well, but, you know, I'm not going to lie. Like, the Whiskey Row series is really starting to gain some traction. At first, I think it was a confusing concept for people because it was like we've had Old Forester and it's always been known as this, like, really great bang for your buck brand. And then all of a sudden you got this expensive Olfo and no one really understood it. So we put out the 1897 next and they were kind of like, wait, now you have two expensive ones and they taste completely different. I don't get it. But that 1920 came out. Changed the entire scene for us. Then it was a flight. Then it was a set. Then it was a billboard on a back bar, right? So everything changed. 1920 still kills it. Kills it.
Okay, so before we talk about 1920, let's go to 1897 since I have a bottle in my hand. And by the way, I'm going to call my good pal Dan O'Connor over at Breakthrough Beverage and make sure that I get a bottle of that 1920 very rapidly. So this is a brand new bottle that Dan graciously gave me about a year ago, and I'm going to open it up, all right? And I'm going to pour a little bit here in my Glencairn snifter. So this is the Old Forester 1897. Now, on this, it's interesting. I'm not getting as much of the citrus. I'm getting more of a woody type of aroma, almost a little maple in my estimation. Again, everybody's palate, everybody's nose is a little bit different, but I will say cheers. Now, this is very different than the 1870. Not as sharp, not as spicy, not as much sizzle. And what's interesting, this is a higher proof. This is 100 proof compared to the 1870, which is a 90 proof.
That is very interesting because I actually find the 1897 to be the most black pepper forward of the entire family. Before we had a rye, it was definitely the one that if you were a rye drinker, this was the one I would suggest for you. It makes a phenomenal Manhattan if that's your jam. But yeah, it's got a lot more dimension to it than the 1870. I will definitely give it that. There's a little bit more dark fruit that starts to come through at this stage. The higher proof, we always balance that out. You're never going to find an Old Forester that quote-unquote drinks hot. We've been in the game long enough where we know how to balance out age with proof concentration. So it's fine. But 1897, bottled and bond. I mean, that's a massive year for the spirits industry. It's a massive year for Old Forester. That was the first time that we switched over from being a 90-proof product to being 100-proof. And we've had 100-proof available ever since then. Consistently.
Very nice. Now, when you say bottled hot, define that term.
Drinks hot. When you go to drink whiskey or anything else, any sort of spirit, and it's not spice so much, it's just heat, and it's an ethanol hot. So you can graphically represent it if you really want to be a nerd about it. The longer you spend in the barrel, in a traditional setting, traditional barrel, traditional warehouse, traditional whatever, not talking like tiny barrels or wood chips in your barrel, no, just like standard barrel, you let it sit there. The longer you sit there, the longer you are going to be evaporating, so you're going to get more headspace. That headspace is going to lead to a little bit more oxidative reactions going on. It's going to smooth everything out a little bit. You are going to increase alcohol concentration depending on your maturation environment. So in a standard setting, and I'm not saying this is for everything. This is like a very like weird like slice of an example. So nobody get all upset about it, but you are going to need eventually to balance out a higher proof to be able to hold on to all of the things you've pulled and extracted out of that barrel over a long period of time. If you take a 2-year-old whiskey and bottle it at 100 proof, it's going to taste like ethanol. If you take a 10-year-old whiskey and bottle it at 100 proof, it's going to taste like well-rounded whiskey. So drinking hot, in the way that I use this term anyways, is just an explanation for something being too young for the proof point that it's at.
Gotcha. But I will tell you that this 100 proof is very smooth. It is not hot in any way, shape, or form. Very tasty. I mean, to me, and it's interesting, everybody's palate is different. So that's why I always tell people, if you're not sure, just go to a lounge, go to a bar, and do a vertical tasting. Say, look, give me the Old Forester 1870, give me the 1897, give me the 1910. Sometimes that's just the best way, just by doing a tasting flight, of determining what you prefer.
Completely. You're exactly right. And you bring up something that's so crucial that I think a lot of people, it's not that they don't realize it. It's just when you go to order whiskey, and let's be honest, some of the whiskeys on the shelf anymore can have a nice little price tag to them. Good whiskey doesn't have to be expensive, but when you're ordering anything at a bar, like it can add up quickly if you go to try like 6 different things, right? Never taste something by itself, ever. Always have something to compare it to, because that's how you learn which one has more dill to it, which one has more toasted marshmallow, blah, blah, blah. You just go in rogue. You're just swimming in an ocean. You can't see land anywhere. I don't even taste things singular. I always taste something side by side with something else as a reference point.
You have no reference points, so you may as well do a tasting. And what's interesting is, instead of going out and buying a bottle of everything, sometimes it could be expensive, but think about this. If you have usually 5 different samples of a shot of everything, figure, let's say it costs you $40, $50. Now, all of a sudden, you know exactly what you gravitate towards. You don't have to buy a bottle where you say, oh, you know what, I bought that bottle. It was $40, $50, $60. Now I don't like it. Now you know exactly what you like. So it's really a good reference point. Jackie Zycan, Master Taster, Old Forester. When we come back for our final and concluding segment, as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month, we will conduct the tasting of my Old Forester single barrel from Corona Cigar, the Old Forester 2007 birthday bourbon, and then we'll talk about some of the other bourbons in the Old Forster line, the 1910, the 1920, their rye whiskey, as we continue right around the corner.
Never miss a minute of the show when you download the Cigar Dave mobile app for Apple, Android, and Kindle devices. You can listen to our 24/7 continuous stream of the latest show or download the recent podcasts to listen to anytime on your mobile device. Get the Cigar Dave mobile app in the App Store. Search Cigar Dave.
Hi, I'm Rocky Patel. After 15 years of hard work, I'd like to introduce you to the Rocky Patel 15th Anniversary Cigar made at our factory in Esteli, Nicaragua. This cigar showcases a beautiful, oily Habano wrapper from Ecuador. Fillers from Esteli, Jalapa, and Condega make up a rich, complex, spicy taste with a lot of full flavor. The Decade, another one of our masterpieces. Made in Honduras, beautiful Ecuadorian Sumatra wrapper with secret fillers. It received a 95 rating, one of the highest rated cigars ever in Cigar Aficionado. This medium to full body cigar is rich, complex, yet elegant and well balanced. 15 years ago, they thought we'd never make it in the business. 10 years ago, they thought we'd never last. 5 years ago, they started paying attention. Now, we're right where we belong, in your hand. So enjoy the 15th anniversary and the decade these cigars will deliver.
The selections in the Cigar Dave Officers Club receive rave reviews from our members, and for good reason. We send out fantastic cigars, the latest and greatest to our members, new cigars, unique cigars, incredible vertical samplers of cigars, and we have a great selection for September 2019. We are featuring the Plasencia Alma del Campo. It is a beautiful Nicaraguan puro, Nicaraguan wrapper, filler, and binder. The wrapper is a beautiful milk chocolatey brown wrapper with
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Your Five Star General is back in 5, 4, 3, 2.
To get me high, and then I'll say goodbye. No way, good day. She hung me out to dry. One bottle of bourbon and I still sober from
final segment. We celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month. Next week, a big, gigantic tasting with Sommelier Dave and Tommy DiAdio of the Davidoff Store and Lounge and Corona Cigar. Jackie Zykan, master taster of Old Forster, our guest, Old Forster, the first bottled bourbon in America. Great history behind the brand. Jackie, let's talk about the Old Forster 1910 and 1920.
Yes, delicious expressions. These are the most recent releases for that whole lineup of Whiskey Row. The 1910 is actually the only expression we have that has a secondary finishing to it. So it goes into a barrel that's been charred to the point of near disintegration for 7 to 9 months. And then it's bottled at 93 proof. It's like liquid Nutella had a baby with Wild Turkey. It's amazing. It's got this nice charry note to it, but I wouldn't call it smoky, but there's definitely a hint of char and a lot of nice chocolate tones. So that actually just re-released. We ran out. We sold out an entire year supply in 3 weeks, and we just now got stock back up. So go out and find it. It shouldn't run out again, but if it does, don't hold it against us. You people just drink too much.
So is that a limited release then every year?
It's not. No, we just didn't figure out the demand. I mean, we based our numbers off of 1920, which has been killing it. Right. So we thought we were in a safe place, and then we go to release it, and literally 3 weeks gone. Totally gone. It's so good.
Wow. Now, let's talk about the 1920, higher proof, 115, so probably not for the amateur bourbon drinker.
It isn't, but I think it's a nice entry into higher proof whiskey, to be honest. So it's actually deceptively smooth for being 115 proof. And the reason for that proof point is that back in 1920s, Old Forester actually was sold during Prohibition throughout its entirety under Kentucky Permit Number 3 to sell medicinal whiskey. So there's that aspect. But it's interesting. Like, if you would have gotten whiskey in 1920, it would have been bottled in bonds. That's 100 proof. We already did a bottled in bonds, so, like, we don't really need to release another one, do we? So what are we going to do differently? That was our barrel strength in 1920. So this is meant to be a, quote-unquote, vintage barrel strength. If you get the good stuff from someone on the inside, straight from the barrel, this is what you would have gotten. So it's the most minimally filtered Old Forester available so far, and it's exquisite, absolutely exquisite.
How does it differ from the 1910?
Well, the 1910 goes through that secondary finishing, right? And it's only 93 proof. Flavor-wise, the 1920, obviously, it's got a little bit more warmth to it. It's got a lot of oak influence, and it's got a lot of dark fruit. So if you like those raisiny, port kind of flavors with sherry notes that come through on bourbon from time to time, this is definitely the one for you. It waters back nicely. It dilutes very nicely and in a balanced fashion. Some high-proof whiskeys, I will give this out, on the market. You water them back, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I know why they put it in the bottle, that high-proof, because all of the defects are hidden in high-proof, and they start coming out. And that is not the case with 1920. It's a very solid journey, start to finish.
I will get my hands on the 1910 and 1920 for sure. Let's talk about the Old Forster rye whiskey. It's got a 65% rye content, 20% malted barley, 15% corn. And when we think about rye, we think about more of a peppery, richer flavor, a little sizzle on the palate. Tell us about the complexion of the Old Forster 100 proof rye.
Yep. So with that 20% malted barley in there, you're actually going to get a little bit more balance of fruit notes and floral notes, and not so much just that savory rye and spice. So it does balance out well. It is bottled at 100 proof, and it's priced line price with the 100 proof everyday bourbon. So it is a steal for the quality of whiskey that you are getting, hands down. But it's unlike other ryes on the market. I think a lot of people are really familiar with the quote unquote Indiana style rye, 9,500% rye. That is not this at all. Those are very flatlined, very monotone, very much just rye. Right, dill
just
pickle,
like rye,
is what I always think
of
it.
Right, a lot of pepper, sizzle. This is a little more complex.
Yeah, this is a lot of complexity.
All right, now let's talk about the Old Forster single barrel, because I know you oversee the single barrel program where people or entities can come up, buy their own barrel. Our good friends over at Corona Cigar and the Davidoff Store and Lounge in the Cigar City of Tampa, they every year do probably about 6 barrels of different from different distillers, and back, I think, about a year or so ago, they did an Old Forester single barrel with you. And Tommy Diadio, who is the Executive Vice President of Spirits Procurement of Corona Cigar and Davidoff, gave me a taste of it. And he said, here, take the bottle. And there's about three-quarters of the bottle left. It is from Warehouse G, floor number 2. And when I tell you, you know, when you think of a single barrel, you think, okay, there's going to be a lot of heat. There's going to be a lot of flavor, a lot of sizzle. It's probably going to be very rich. When I tell you this single barrel is ultra smooth and ultra tasty, that is an understatement. It is spectacular.
Yeah, the single barrel program, I mean, we've been rolling with that one since 2013, give or take. We've done a lot to improve the program, but yeah, we like to keep a diversity. So that particular bottling is phenomenal. I mean, everyone is phenomenal. They're just all very different because not everybody likes the spicy whiskey. Not everyone likes the sweet whiskey. So we keep a nice little mix. But G Warehouse is one of my favorite warehouses down in Shively. G and H, those are my personal preference spots. So I'm really excited you got to drink whiskey from G House because that's so great.
Now, why do you like G and H better than the – why is that your favorite?
They've yielded – more consistent barrels that are more conducive to my personal palate preference. I don't do the big giant spice tobacco bombs. I prefer right. something that is a little bit more sweet aromatic forward personally. So I don't know. H5 is, if you ever find single barrels from H5, that is my spot. So yeah, but we do, I don't know, 30 to 40 across the country a year. We've actually just started doing them in the UK and, it's a fantastic process. You know, it's a true single barrel, and they're like snowflakes. They're all completely different, and you're never going to be able to fully replicate it ever again.
And you personally select the barrels. So anybody coming up, they would deal with you. And this single barrel from Warehouse G42 for Corona Cigar, I will tell you that I would call it a combination of sweet and spicy. Little bit of sweetness, little bit of spicy, definite some clove, definite little bit of a maple type of a flavor with a little bit of warmth, but it's very complex, very, very nice. And now I know why Tommy said there's a big run for people that just want a straight shot of the Old Forester single barrel that you've selected with them. It's great.
Yes.
Okay, now we have to move into probably one of the best expressions of bourbon, not only by Old Forester, but of any distiller in the country, the Old Forester Birthday Bourbon. Tell me about the history of birthday bourbon.
Sure. So we started that expression back in 2002. It is a vintage-dated bourbon, and what does that even mean with bourbon? It's one day's production. Whatever you end up with at the end of its maturity cycle is going to be what you get. With B-Day, we get maybe about 10 to 15% yield out of those barrels. So you get a really, really highly concentrated flavor profile. Now, the whole story behind it, though, is that George Garvin Brown's birthday is September 2nd. So obviously we release it in honor of George's birthday, hence the birthday bourbon. It's fantastic. Every year is different, which is the best part about it. It's sort of a nice little surprise every year of what it's going to be. But this year's, I think that is the highest proof we've ever done. It's 105 proof this year. It just made sense, though. We taste it from 86 proof, 87, 88, 89, 90, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Every single proof point up to barrel strength, which is about 160. And we find the sweet spot where it sings its best song. So 105 was the one we landed on and actually agreed upon this year. We don't always agree. There's always a big fight about it. But
now, the Old Forester 2019 Birthday Bourbon is being released, I believe, has been released right about now?
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's out.
Right, and that was distilled on May 15th, 2008, on the second floor of Warehouse I. And you and Master Distiller Chris Morris selected proof this year's limited edition, so I can't wait to get that. Now, I'm going to taste the Old Forester Birthday Bourbon that was distilled in the spring of 94, bottled in 2007. Let me take a quick taste. Oh, wow. Citrus, maple, a little bit of orange, just perfect. I've got to savor this and save it for a long, long time because when it's gone, it's gone. Jackie, we have enjoyed having you on the show today talking about Old Forester. We hope to have you on again. Thank you so much for spending time with us as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month.
Thank you so, so much. It has been so much fun.
Fantastic. Jackie's Icann, Master Taster, Old Forster, Cigar Dave, the General, saying, Mayor Humidor, always be full. Mayor Cutter, always be sharp. Mayor Ashby, extra, extra long. Semper Delectatio, always pleasure. Long live the Alpha, and may your bourbon always be smooth.
He's alive!
Mary Shelley's spine-tingling classic comes to the Reading stage in all its theatrical glory. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Frankenstein, written by Mary Shelley, adapted by Andrew Billiter, directed by Matt McDonald. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30. Sunday matinees at 2. September 21st through October 19th. Come see a show unlike anything you've seen on the Riverfront stage before, if you dare.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The View, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Get your car squeaky clean at Quick and Clean Car Wash in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean Car Wash on the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros is open 7 days a week. Fast and convenient, you don't even have to get out of your vehicle. And they even towel dry your vehicle. They accept cash or card with no extra charge. Quick and Clean Car Wash located at 1210 Market Street, downtown Reading. 530-243-4211.
He dismisses any allegation of wrongdoing as a political hack job.
I don't know the identity of the whistleblower. I just hear it's a partisan person, meaning it comes out from another party.
And he says his private conversations with foreign leaders are always appropriate.
I always look for the conversation that's going to help the United States the most.
Greg Clugston, the White House.
Meanwhile, the president says he does not want a military confrontation with Iran in response to attacks on the Saudi oil industry this month. Meanwhile, Defense Secretary Mark Esper says the U.S. will deploy additional troops and military equipment to Saudi Arabia as well as the United Arab Emirates.
It is clear, based on detailed exploitation conducted by Saudi, United States, and other international investigative teams, that the weapons used in the attack were Iranian-produced and were not launched from Yemen, as was initially claimed.
The president is sure to bring up the incident and seek support from other nations when he attends the U.N. General Assembly in New York next week. Massachusetts Democratic Congressman Joe Kennedy III formally declared his candidacy for the U.S. Senate Saturday, becoming the first member of the Kennedy political family to run for the upper chamber since his great-uncle Edward Kennedy ran in 1962. The younger Kennedy is going to take on incumbent Democratic Senator Edward Markey. In the upcoming primaries. On the Sunday news shows this week, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is on ABC's This Week, CBS's Face the Nation, as well as Fox News Sunday. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Guys, waking up over and over to urinate is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to urinate at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free.
Just pay shipping and handling.
No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free.
Call 1-800-424-7126.
Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now.
Call 1-800-424-7126.
Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer.
1-800-424-7126. 1-800-424-7126.
Federal regulators are investigating complaints of steering problems in about 270,000 SUVs made by Fiat Chrysler.
The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has opened a probe into 2018 and 2019 Jeep Wranglers after more than 3,500 owners complained about frame weld problems or steering issues that include looseness or locking up. While no crashes or injuries have been reported, the Wrangler was recalled last year for misaligned welds that could cause steering problems.
It's correspondent Matt Small. General Motors' transition from gas-powered vehicles to an all-electric future becoming an issue in contract talks aimed at ending a what it could be a seven-day-old strike by nearly 50,000 union workers that has paralyzed the company's factories, that is. Simply put, if consumers ever switch to electrics, the UAW union is in trouble. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Fresh water from Midwestern floods has killed oysters along the coasts of three states and cost Mississippi half of its blue crabs.
The head of Mississippi's Department of Marine Resources says water that came through a Louisiana spillway killed 95% of the oysters in his part of the Mississippi Sound and fed toxic algae blooms. Joe Spragans says seafood and tourism business have lost $120 to $140 million. Alabama canceled its oyster season. Patrick Frost reporting.
University of Maryland getting a big gift. They received a $200 million contract to research seasonal flu vaccines. The money is coming from the federal government's National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, which in turn hopes to develop a universal vaccine against new flu strains, as well as improve existing flu vaccines. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
From the Fox News radio studios in New York City, giving you opinions and facts with a positive approach, it's Brian Kilmeade.
Thanks so much for listening, Brian Kilmeade Show. A lot going on this Thursday. Bottom of the hour, Adam Kennedy comes to us from the White House. He's the Deputy Communications Director and Deputy Assistant to the President of the United States. Ambassador Dennis Ross is waiting on deck. He knows a lot about what's happening in Israel as much as anybody, as well as the Arab Middle East world. And we have many hot spots. The Israeli elections, deadlock again, and the Iranian missile strike. We're starting to find out for sure. They were responsible for the hit on Saudi Arabia. And what are our military options? So we'll discuss all that with you. 1-866-408-7669. So let's get started.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three.
This communication happens between the president and a foreign leader. We don't precisely know when, and we don't know the leader, nor how this individual found out about it. We know that this person is an intelligence official who worked on the National Security Council staff for some period of time. But whatever it was, so alarmed this individual that he or she decided to go through the legal route for reporting it, and that's how we've arrived at that point where we are right now.
All right, that is Shane Harris on CNN talking about this whistleblower that came forward because they feel as though the President of the United States gave away key communications to another country. We'll find out more details on that because the Washington Post, again, loves to target the president. Now, today, the DNI, the acting DNI, will be on Capitol Hill to take some fire from Adam Schiff. We'll see where this goes.
Number two.
I wanted to show you some of the details of the wall. It'll be over 400 miles, and we think we can get it close to 500 miles by the end of next year, depending on certain terrain conditions.
That's the President of the United States talking about building the wall. Turns out he is in San Diego, not in Yuma, Arizona, where the Defense Department is pushing back because it seems so pricey they might not have the money. But they have it in San Diego. The President's building the wall where it first was proven to work in San Diego. But how much more can get done as defense transfers are under additional scrutiny today?
Number one.
Ultimately, this was not an attack on the United States. This was an attack on Saudi oil assets.
This attack on the oil refinery, by any reasonable definition, is an act of war. It is attacking the world economy. It's the stability of the oil markets throughout the world.
And that is Lindsey Graham. They did it. Hardcore proof. Iran was behind the massive strike on Saudi's oil supply. A message to the U.S. and Saudi Arabia, definitely. And a lack of forceful action will prompt escalating action. I am sure of it. And I'll tell you what steps I would love for the president to make. Number one, you got to get the Europeans involved. You show that hardcore proof. You bring it forward. And it goes without a shadow of a doubt. The Iranians want to be found out. My goodness. You could see they was built in Iran. The wingspan is definition of Iran. Some didn't explode. They see it. It came from the north. It proves it. They have video. It didn't come from Yemen. So there's no way the explanation of the Houthi rebels will actually stand. So the president is not doing anything. He's putting additional sanctions on, much to the chagrin of Lindsey Graham. Cut six.
This attack on the oil refinery, by any reasonable definition, is an act of war. It is attacking the world economy. It's the stability of the oil markets throughout the world.
And listen, Lindsey Graham knows the ramifications of getting involved in the Middle East war, but you know the next attack will be a greater attack. General Jack Keane on our options. Cut 12.
We need to respond. I think the first thing is we got to fix the air defenses out there that were so vulnerable and did not protect Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can help, not there, but also in the other Arab Gulf states. Second thing is declassify all the evidence. I believe the administration is working on that with our intelligence community. Go to the UN with that evidence and the American people. Lay it out so they can see it. And the UN General Assembly is meeting next week. All the presidents are coming in, at least most of them. That's a golden opportunity to further isolate Iran politically, diplomatically, and economically, get maybe some of them to sign up for sanctions, which are working, by the way. But then also build a coalition here.
Yeah, we got Saudi Arabia to join the coalition, the UAE to join the coalition, the UK to join the coalition. Where's France? Where's Spain? Where's Germany? Not that they have these great military weapons, although whatever France has is well respected. But it would just show that this whole, if we even stayed in the 2015 agreement that President Obama hatched with John Kerry, they still would be allowed to attack Saudi Arabia with the exact missiles, the Hellfire missiles on top of drones. Cut 13. Daniel Hoffman, CIA.
I'm confident that the intelligence community is taking a hard look at Iran's aggression in the Persian Gulf to date, mining merchant ships, seizing oil tankers, shooting down our drone in this most recent attack on Saudi Arabia, and then forecasting Iran's future behavior, and what it appears is that Iran is going to continue to escalate until we stop them. And eventually we're going to have to do that, or we're going to face the consequences. Iran is certainly trying to destabilize the global energy market, as you noted. They're attacking their regional enemy, Saudi Arabia, and they're trying to drive a wedge between the United States and our allies and demonstrate that we cannot defend our allies when Iran attacks them.
Well, keep in mind, too, is that we have so much energy, so much oil, so much gas, that the price went up and it immediately came down. We're able to flood the market, get another million barrels a day online within the next month or so, and so far we're putting out so much, up 40% in 2 years, that hitting Saudi Arabia no longer is devastating to the world. Doesn't matter. Mohammed Zarif, the foreign minister of Iran, with that grin on his face, continues to say the Iranians weren't behind it, but no one buys it. Cut 15.
What would be the consequence of an American or a Saudi military strike on Iran now?
An all-out war.
You make a very serious statement there, sir.
Well, I make a very serious statement about defending our country. I'm making a very serious statement that we don't want war. We don't want to engage in a military confrontation. We believe that a military confrontation based on deception is awful. We'll have a lot of casualties. But we won't blink to defend our territory.
Right. This guy, Wumpling, they'll continue to use provocative action, ask for the world to be calm in response. Listen, the other big story out of the Washington Post is this story about a whistleblower within the president's administration that heard reportedly the president or somebody close to the president give away intelligence to the point where they want to come forward and explain that another world leader, whether it's Russia, Iran, the North Koreans, got intelligence information that they never should have from the president or someone close to the president. Shane Harris had the story and talked about it. Cut 33.
What we know essentially is what we broke in the paper last night. This communication happens between the president and a foreign leader. We don't precisely know when, and we don't know the leader, nor how this individual found out about it. Now, there are things that we can deduce. We know that this person was is an intelligence official who worked on the National Security Council staff for some period of time. People like that are often in a position to get readouts or summaries of conversations that the president has had with foreign leaders. But whatever it was so alarmed this individual that he or she decided to go through the legal route for reporting it, and that's how we've arrived at that point where we are right now with the Inspector General's investigation.
All right, we'll see where it goes from here. We're going to come back, and that's the big story. So now every network has their own Russia story. Then they had the emolument story. The president became president in order to get the Defense Department to use his hotel. That makes sense, doesn't it? So that story's not going anywhere. Corey Lewandowski embarrassed Democrats on the Judiciary Committee. So that's not going anywhere. Now we got the Washington Post story that says the president gives away national secrets. Now I got something to go on. We'll see what happens on Capitol Hill today, but every single network will have all these different people talking about the outrageousness of this president who's ill-equipped to hold office. Bottom line is there's panic among the Democrats because they see that field, they listen to the policies, and they know currently, with all the problems that Donald Trump is on display, Twitter and all, he's still going to win. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show. Don't move.
Diving deep into today's top stories, it's Brian Kilmeade.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Termbusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
Attention military service members. If you or a loved one used dual-sided combat arms earplugs during active duty between 2003 and 2015 and then suffered tinnitus, ringing in ears, or hearing loss, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Contact Thomas J. Henry today for a free and confidential consultation. Dial #250 and say combat veteran. That's #250 combat veteran. Call Thomas J. Henry now and get the money you deserve. Principal office in San Antonio, Texas. You'll have the option to receive a one-time auto-dial text message.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday, Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m., North State Now.
Bonus Track with Laura Ingle.
Taking you deep inside the music. In some cases, a movie being made about your band can push musicians apart. Not the case for Motley Crue band members. Bass player Nikki Sixx tells Billboard magazine the experience of making Motley Crue's biopic, The Dirt, saved the band members' friendships and took them back to the old days after they started feeling disconnected during their 2015 farewell tour. Sixx tells Billboard he felt detached in a lot of ways, adding he didn't feel the camaraderie backstage, saying that they would do meet and greets and they would all be cordial, but it just didn't feel the same. But since the movie, it's all felt like it used to be. He noted that when his daughter Ruby was born in July, the first presents were from the members of Motley Crue. They were the first things that showed up, he said, adding Mick Mars was texting him like, when's that girl coming? This, he says, coming from guys who didn't talk to each other. Laura Ingle, Fox News.
News, unique opinions. Hear it all on the Brian Kilmeade Show.
I do believe that any kind of action should get the okay. Any kind of significant action should get the okay of Congress. My worry here is that they'll bumble into war. Even if they don't want a war, they'll bumble into it because there's been no long-term strategy.
That is. Senator Chuck Schumer. So instead of keeping his cards tight and saying this is a potential crisis, obviously sees the president. If anything else, he's slow to act. He has to go out and say something negative. And the other person who weighed in who's been talking to the president, and he has a good point, is Chris Murphy. So Chris Murphy came out, the senator from Connecticut, and says, you know what, we're selling the Saudis all these weapons. Why the heck do they still not able to protect themselves? Cut nine.
The response would be to try to convince all parties in the region to stop this series of escalatory measures. I get it that it would probably make a lot of Americans feel good if we responded tit for tat. But if that ultimately gets us into a shooting war with the Iranians, that's not good for anybody. So at some point, there has to be a movement to end these escalations. And so even if the Iranians were directly involved, it may be that the Saudis decide to take action themselves. Why on earth have we sold the Saudis hundreds of millions of dollars worth of weapons if they can't defend their own territory? The United States should be playing the role of the de-escalator here, the force for peace and for a reasonable outcome to what is an unreasonable escalation of actions right now.
The way I understand it is we sold them not the Iron Dome, that goes to Israel. We sold them a Patriot system, but it was guarding against something coming from the Yemeni border. Not many people thought that it was going to come from the Iranian border, which is crazy. That's like during the Cold War saying, I know they're not going to go after Western Europe, so I'm not going to put any missiles there. If they're your number one enemy, why would you not have a missile defense system on the border. I mean, Mohammad Javad Zarif, the foreign minister, loves to work the Western press. He's been here twice. I've been in two closed-doors meetings with him as he briefed us from the Iranian perspective, which I find beneficial. But I also shows, he says, listen, the next leader of Iran is going to be more radical, more conservative, and more militaristic than the current one because he's term-limited out, as, and everyone knows the Grand Ayatollah holds everything. So here's he, here he is yesterday on trying to sell us that the Houthi rebels, by the way, who they arm, did this. Cut 17.
This is a ragtag group of rebels who've been under siege for years. They struggle to get medicines. They struggle to get food. That indeed is part of your case why the war must stop. How is the world expected to believe that they were able to magic up drones and cruise missiles of this technology that flew across hundreds of miles of Saudi Arabia through tens of billions of dollars of air defenses without any external assistance and took out 19 targets? That's a big ask, people, to believe.
Well, you see, if you want to make your calculations based on this, Saudi Arabia should have been able to win this war against this group of besieged people exactly when they thought they would, 4 weeks after they started the war. But it's 4.5 years. They have not been able to bring the Yemenis to their knees.
But that is a different argument to resisting an invading army on the ground. Is different to getting technology out of nowhere, it seems, and managing to evade state-of-the-art, tens of billions of dollars, American-assisted air defenses. That's a different argument.
Well, I mean, then you should go and find the problem with the state-of-the-art American air defense, not with the Houthis.
Isn't it interesting? I mean, we're not buying it, but he's not answering the question. So since the Saudis couldn't take out the Houthi rebels in a neighboring country without an invading force, of course they sent the sophisticated drone tech, drones and missiles into Saudi Arabia to blow up their oil supply. So we all know they're behind it. But let's find out from Ambassador Dennis Ross, former U.S. envoy to the Middle East, co-author of a brand new book, Be Strong and of Good Courage, How Israel's Most Important Leaders Shaped Its Destiny. Ambassador, I know you look back in your book. Let's look forward. You think the Iranians are behind this attack?
There's no question they're behind it. And look, these were drones, advanced drones. By the way, the kind of drones that have already been recovered don't have the range to have come from Yemen, number one. Number two, they were cruise missiles, and the cruise missiles the Houthis don't have. So there's no doubt that the Iranians were behind it. It looks, I think, we are at a point where a real threshold has been crossed, and there has to be a consequence. Think about it. They not only are behind us, but it looks as if these were launched from Iranian territory. It's completely out of Iranian character. They always do things by indirection. They always use proxies. They always have deniability because others are doing it, even if they provided the arms, even if they provided the training, even if, you know, they basically have helped to shape and plan the operation. Their guys aren't there actually doing it. They use Hezbollah, or they use Qutayb Hezbollah, they use Asayb al-Haq. They use all these different Shia militia proxies. For them to do it directly is out of character. It shows they're very much emboldened. It means they're less fearful. It means they, you know, they have not, they don't respect the American deterrent the way might have been the case before. And if there's no consequence, they will do more, number one. And two, Brian, think about the message it sends internationally. It says there's no rules.
Yep.
You know, you don't like your neighbor, and you want to really hurt him, it's okay.
So Dennis, how should we respond?
Well, the right way to respond is probably, first, I would say there's two levels of the response. One should be, we should put out everything we have that can demonstrate conclusively where this came from, because we need to then mobilize the world and create a justification and say, look, we're going to name and shame the Iranians, but we have to have others do it. It can't just be us. And so we should use this as a moment to move the Europeans. And look, even the Chinese get the vast majority of their oil out of this area. This can be put at risk if this kind of behavior can go on. So we should be mobilizing the world to politically isolate the Iranians. One of the consequences of withdrawing from the JCPOA, the Iran nuclear deal, the way we did is we ended up isolating ourselves, not them. This is a moment to turn that around. That's number one. Number two, you know what? Why don't we take a page from their book? Why don't we use the same kind of options they do? Why not think about taking some kind of action militarily, but don't admit it? You know, look at the Israelis have hit 1,000 targets in Syria. The vast majority of those were Iranian and Shia militia targets in Syria. They try to create the equivalent of what they have in Lebanon and Syria and have precision-guided missiles there. The Israelis don't talk about it. They just do it. When you don't talk about it, you don't force the other side to have to do something in response. So why not take a page from their book? Isolate them politically? You know, it's clear President Trump doesn't want to get involved in the war.
Ambassador, that is a great idea. Last question. Who's the next leader of Israel?
I think we will have a national unity government. I don't yet know if it's going to be Benny Gantz or Netanyahu in a rotation arrangement, but my sense is that Benny Gantz may be the one who will be first given the chance to form a government.
And what's at stake, maybe Netanyahu's criminal future. They look like they're trying to put him in jail, like it or not, if he loses, right?
I think, you know, he certainly wants to be prime minister when he's dealing with the attorney general. And so we'll see.
Right.
You know, it's just the government formation process is not going to be a simple one because the numbers really put Avigdor Lieberman in the kingmaker position.
I hear you. Ambassador Dennis Ross has got a brand new book, Be Strong and of Good Courage, as Israel's most important leaders shaped his destiny. Ambassador, great to talk to you always. We go to the White House next.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
From the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Joe DiMaggio was named the greatest living player in a 1969 poll of sports writers. He took the great American pastime of baseball to new heights during his career and defined the term sports hero in the 40s and 50s. Jolden Joe was known for the power of his batting. After World War II, he became a national hero. And even people who didn't like the New York Yankees liked Joe. He announced his retirement in 1952.
I said last spring, I thought this would be my last year. I wish that could have had a better year. But even if I had hit 350, this would have been my last year for me anyway. You all know I've had my share of injuries and setbacks during my career. In recent years, these have been too frequent to laugh for. When baseball is no longer fun, it's no longer a game. And so, I've played my last game of ball.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
This is Fox on Justice. There are people who consider Edward Snowden a heroic whistleblower, and there are others who call him a traitor. Snowden, the one-time contractor for the National Security Agency, was and continues to be controversial for leaking details on U.S. espionage of allies and government data collection on millions of law-abiding Americans. Snowden has been living in Russia. He'd be arrested if he came here. He's been busy writing a book, and on the day it went on sale, the U.S. Justice Department filed a lawsuit. It says that Snowden's book violates his non-disclosure agreement, that as a government contractor, he needed to get approval before publishing a book. The Justice Department is not trying to stop the publication, but is demanding all of the money Snowden makes from the book. Snowden's lawyer says there are no secrets in the book, but Snowden, perhaps in a bid to gin up sales, tweeted, "This is the book the government doesn't want you to read." With Fox on Justice, Hank Feinblum, Fox News.
To your ears. It's Brian Kilmeade.
It's fine to have a series of Democratic candidates calling for impeachment, but that was before the book came out, which is today. And you also have Trump kind of jumping on things as if we have an agenda, which, you know, that was not our intent. Our intent is to revisit these facts with detail and depth and, you know, then kind of have people open their minds.
Well, that was Robin Pogrebin. She is writes for the New York Times, mostly on Wall Street, but she co-authored a book called The Education of Brett Kavanaugh, and she's trying to explain herself on The View yesterday. And I say try because it was totally ineffective unless you're a grade schooler. She is trying to say that leaving out the fact that a second accuser of Brett Kavanaugh of doing something explicitly wrong in college, sexually oriented, at Yale, by the way. Did anyone study there? Was it just chaos all the time? By leaving out the name and the fact that she didn't remember the incident that they chronicle as evidence that he was essentially somebody that was out of control in college and does not deserve to be a Supreme Court justice. We're supposed to buy that an editor took it out without a permission and it wasn't that big of a deal. With me in studio is Governor Mike Huckabee. Governor, in the past, have I said the New York Times is against the president or wrote something against the president? You'll say, Brian, what day is it? What's new? This is so bad. And this was so damaging for a couple of days. It was for Molly Hemingway going in who did the research on her own book. This thing would have gotten traction. You had 8 presidential candidates come out and say Justice Kavanaugh should be impeached. Are you buying this explanation that it's a New York Times editor's fault?
No, I don't buy it. And even if it were true, it still doesn't change the fact that these two reporters went out after Kavanaugh with nothing. They had an unloaded gun, and ultimately, when it wouldn't fire, they just threw it at him anyway. This is really an outrageous assault against truth and against our constitutional premise of innocent until proven guilty, due process. The tragedy is this was a smear campaign like no other we've ever seen. This is a guy who a year ago this month went through a living hell being accused of everything from rape to being a sexual predator to just being a hideous human being. He got through all of that because nobody ever was able to say, yeah, it really happened. The stories fell apart. It was a total disaster for the Democrats to have attacked him.
And they still
like
got
that.
Their week to investigate and no vote. Remember Jeff Flake yep. and Chris Coons cut a deal to investigate for a week?
Yep. And nothing came out of it other than to show that there was no fire where that so-called fake smoke was. This is yet another attempt. And I think what is disgusting, the Democrats just won't let go that Donald Trump won the election and that he had the right to appoint Supreme Court justices. So their attitude is if we can't win an election and if we can't appoint Supreme Court justices, then we'll destroy everything. It's like a child having a tantrum. Didn't get to play the game he wanted, so he took the game board, threw it across the room, took chocolate milk and just slammed it against the wall. This is a petulant act, but it has real long-standing harm to the country. That's what I worry about.
And the rest of the world looks at us and say, what is going on over there? Listen, they don't get the play-by-play, but sadly they get CNN International, and they think, I can't tell you how many people come back from Europe and say, do you know what CNN is saying about us?
Yeah.
You would think that Donald Trump has 1% approval rating.
Right.
When it's Macron with 22% approval rating.
Yeah.
It's Merkel that's being forced out of office. Theresa May that was told was shown the door. It's not Trump.
It's CNN has become as big a joke in the broadcast world as has the New York Times. I call them the New York Slimes. And that's a tragedy. We need good newspapers. We need good news sources. Those two are not credible, and they've lost their credibility. The New York Times, I don't know that they'll ever recover from this. I'm not sure
they
that
shouldn't.
People can ever trust them again. And here's what is even more tragic. Those Democrats who call for the impeachment of Brett Kavanaugh based on a phony story, they still haven't walked it back. They're still out there saying he should be impeached. And you're thinking, for what? What should he be impeached for?
If you can, I want to listen to this together. So Molly Hemingway sees this story happen on Saturday. She does the best-selling book on Justice Kavanaugh, and she says, I got to look into this. I know this story, and I don't know the people. Number one, the lawyer that evidently witnessed this did not talk to the writers. I didn't know that. Number two is they say he's a nonprofit attorney. He worked for the Clinton administration.
Worked for the Clintons.
How could you write a story and not say nonprofit attorney who previously worked for the Clinton administration?
He clearly had a point of view.
High school newspaper stuff.
Yeah.
And you're editor, even in high school, you write that. You say, excuse me, go fix this.
Yeah.
Or else I'm not doing a good job as a teacher. So these writers come out and they go, listen, I didn't take this out. The editors took it out. And they see the firestorm when they go on television on Monday, and they say the editors took it out, but now that the editor fixed it, that's the story, that someone witnessed it, this lawyer witnessed it, and this woman doesn't remember it. Okay. So then Molly Hemingway says something in our interview on Tuesday and says, that wasn't their story to NPR. So Eric went back and found their interview at NPR before the firestorm broke out. So let's listen together. This is the co-author of The Education of Brett Kavanaugh, and they think they're going with the big hot-button story in their book that's supposed to sell this book, that Brett Kavanaugh had another incident at Yale, explicit sexual act that Debbie Ramirez was said to have experienced, even though she can't remember it either. Cut 14.
We have this one other allegation that has never been reported. It surfaced at the time where there was another incident at a Yale party. Everybody was drunk. Kavanaugh was with his friends in a group. His pants were down, and his friends brought him over to a woman named Tracy Harmon. Her married name is Joyce, so she's now Tracy Harmon Joyce. And that a classmate named Max Steyer remembers seeing Kavanaugh's friends put in Tracy's hand. Max Steyer brought that story to members of the Senate at the time. He also made the FBI aware of it, and neither pursued it. Certainly the FBI didn't in any meaningful way.
Did she couch that story? Did she say the woman doesn't remember it? Did she say Steyer worked for Clinton?
No, none of that.
Did she say Steyer talked to her?
No. I mean, at this point, it sounds like that the FBI intentionally dropped the ball on a story that would have been explosive a year ago, that would have perhaps derailed the nomination and affirmation of Brett Kavanaugh. That's not what happened.
They were telling us this all week.
Oh, yeah. No, this is not a couple
by Molly Hemingway.
Well, this is not a couple of reporters who just had their editors make a mistake over their heads. These are two people, and the president is right. They should be fired.
So you said that we have. So this is Chuck Grassley when Steyer came to them in the investigative stage. Yeah. Okay. Listen.
That person, Mr. Steyer's, didn't reach out or provide information to the committee majority. Apparently, he also didn't provide any information to these writers. My office never received anything from Mr. Steyer or his unnamed friends.
So he didn't come forward? Didn't come forward to them. He asked his entire staff. So those people said, like Kamala Harris says, the sham investigation wrong. And did he talk to the writers? No.
No. Didn't talk to the writers. And then the people who supposedly were witnesses cannot be found. Not one single human being verifies that this ever happened. And the woman who, frankly, should sue the New York Times for bringing her name into this, she doesn't remember this. She would probably remember something like that, don't you think, Brian? I mean, I think I would remember that. I've never been drunk, but I think even if I were drunk, I might remember that.
Debbie Ramirez didn't remember. She had called 20 friends to piece together that night.
The person who's named Tracy, she doesn't remember any of this. So not a single person who is supposedly at this crazy party has any recollection, but we're to believe two New York Times reporters. This is like an unnamed source told a person who told someone that they think they heard once upon a time from a 30-year-old story something that may have happened but may not have, but even though we can't prove it, we ought to get rid of Brett Kavanaugh over this.
Buy my book. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Buy my book. By the way, he has kids. He used to coach basketball. And when I read this, I think I'm reading Hustler magazine. It's so explicit. I never thought I'd ever read this, period. So we're seeing it out there, and I'm thinking to myself, this guy, how does this guy rationalize this? He's got to go sit down in the most prestigious court in the world, and he's got to have a reputation. I mean, they don't let him be they're not letting him be a professor. I think he was supposed to be a professor at Oxford.
Yeah.
Supposed to be another professor. They go, like, don't worry about it. They say, we really don't want you to coach basketball anymore. He's got to sit. The next Supreme Court justice that Donald Trump selects, if he wins again. I think a lot of them are going to go, I just don't want to, it doesn't matter enough to me. It doesn't matter enough to my reputation, my family. It's not fair.
You know, I'm not sure the Apostle Paul would be able to be confirmed to the Supreme Court. Of course, they would dig up everything pre-Damascus Road about him. But the fact is, we are making it incredibly and increasingly difficult for people to want to be involved in any form of public service, because it's no longer about looking at the legitimate things that should be looked at in a person's life and background and character. But if we're going to go back to every high school and college event, and especially the ones that have no merit because nobody remembers them, this is really what's frightening. This would be bad if Brett Kavanaugh had done it. But there is absolutely not a scintilla of evidence that this is a true story.
Governor, when we come back, I would like to talk a little about 2020.
Okay.
And Elizabeth Warren was on with Stephen Colbert last night. She also got a huge crowd here in New York City. And we have a lot of people that want to weigh in on a potential matchup there, as the person who still leads the polls, believe it or not, is Joe Biden. Brian Kilmeade Show with Governor Huckabee. Back in a moment.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
Hall of Fame catcher here, Johnny Bench for Blue Emu. After 10 gold gloves, I know when I've made a great catch. Blue Emu has supported my healthy muscles and joints for over 15 years. Blue Emu works fast, and you won't stink. Available at retailers nationwide.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Termbusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
Attention, military service members. If you or a loved one used dual-sided combat arms earplugs during active duty between 2003 and 2015 and then suffered tinnitus, ringing in ears, or hearing loss, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Contact Thomas J. Henry today for a free and confidential consultation. Dial pound 250 and say combat veteran. That's pound 250 combat veteran. Call Thomas J. Henry now and get the money you deserve. Principal office in San Antonio, Texas. You'll have the option to receive a one-time auto-dial text message.
Hall of Fame catcher Johnny Bench for Blue Emu. I used to hit dingers and throw lasers. I had a long and healthy career in baseball. Blue Emu helps me keep my muscles and joints healthy so I can keep playing off the field now. Try Blue Emu today. It works fast and you won't stink.
If it wasn't for a kind community member like you, I could have died on the streets. My name is Ted Williams, the man with the golden voice, and I will be your keynote speaker at the Good News Rescue Mission's 11th annual Harvest of Hope fundraiser banquet at the Reading Civic Auditorium on Saturday, October 5th at 6 p.m. Support transformation and purchase your Harvest of Hope table at gnrm.org. I'll see you there.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Fox News.
A talk show that's real. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
You keep being asked in the debates, how are you going to pay for it? Are you going to raise the middle class taxes?
Right.
How are you going to pay for it? Are you going to raise the middle class taxes?
So here's how we're going to do this. Costs are going to go up for the wealthiest Americans, for big corporations.
Taxes, which will be my cost?
Yeah. Okay. And hardworking middle class families are going to see their costs go down. And
but will their taxes go up?
Well, but here's the thing.
Here's the thing. I've listened to these answers a few times before.
I mean, when a person begins the sentence with the word so, they're looking for time so they can try to formulate in their head what they're going to
coming
say.
From a reform politician.
Exactly. No, I mean, I understand how that's a rhetorical device. But what she's not being completely honest about is you can't tax rich people and corporations enough to pay for what she's proposing. It's a $1 trillion proposal. And then you end up with the government taking 180 million Americans off their current health care, going on to a government program that the government decides what is health care. Do you get hip replacements, knee replacements? Do you get elective surgery? Or you only get surgery that is life-saving?
Right.
And somebody sitting in some bureaucratic office decides even whether you get that.
And, Senator Warren is looking at Stephen Colbert. Now, Stephen Colbert is as liberal as he gets, but he comes from a huge family. His dad died tragically at a young age, probably struggled paycheck to paycheck. Later in life, he has all the success, and he gets millions of dollars. And he looks at his paycheck, and I'm sure he's not worried. About 65% of his money goes to the government between state and local and federal.
Yeah.
So how much more do those horrible rich people have to give? How many people work under Stephen Colbert and NBC? Those horrible corporations hire hundreds of thousands of people. You can treat this like a comic book and just vilify corporations. And then when you realize those corporations are allowed to grow with a lower corporate rate, allowed to spread that wealth around and allow people to excel and let the cream rise to the top. That's where our system works. Don't run from it.
Our economic system is based on the notion that you take big risk and you potentially could get a big reward. But you also might lose your entire everything. So you can lose your britches as well. And we never hear that side of it. There's a lot of people who have done great. There are a lot of people who tried to do great. They went bust. I'll be fair. Elizabeth Warren is pretty good at diagnosing issues and problems.
Similar to Trump like that.
She's very much a populist like Trump. If you hear the two of them talk about what the problems are, you hear very similar messages. Now, the difference is what the prescription is to fix it. Donald Trump would offer you what I'd call a medically sound prescription of lowering taxes, cutting regulations, creating a more free market and a fair trade model. Elizabeth Warren's prescription is much more of a voodoo, where you just say, we're going to kill the corporations, we're going to go after the people who have been successful, who, by the way, employ a lot of those people she claims to care about.
Right.
The net result, pretty tragic. It really is.
Right, in a way. Here's by the way, in the studio right now, if you're watching on Fox Nation, is this woman named Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And I believe this is the second time you've been on together. I think last night you had a chance to see each other professionally. Yeah. Sarah, great to see you.
It's good to be here.
You're here a little bit early, so we put you on. We'll pay you a little bit extra. That's the way it works.
I like it. I'll,
I never get paid extra. Yeah. That's right. Not fair.
I didn't know you had that kind of power, Brian. I'm excited
about
that.
He does have the power. I don't know if you know this, but Brian over here is a pretty big deal.
Right. No, I ask me. I always tell you, and you never believe me.
Oh, I believe it. No. He's a pretty big deal. He has his apartment has mahogany all over it.
And many leather-bound books.
A lot of leather-bound books.
So Governor, you were coming out and you were saying Elizabeth Warren, you were probably at the problems with Elizabeth Warren. Here's somebody who wants to trumpet the good parts about Elizabeth Warren. Joining us now is Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And what a formidable opponent he's being. Sarah, I mean, it looks like she is getting the momentum to take on the president. I never thought this would happen the way the president went after her. And I'm going to get me a beer launch that she had. Does it surprise you? I'm not saying she's got the nomination yet, but
it doesn't. She's been one of the only candidates that's had a steady rise. While everybody else has sort of had like a 1 or 2 day peak, she's kind of continually been on a moving trajectory. And I think it's great news for the president. I don't think there's any candidate in the race that's a better contrast for the president than Elizabeth Warren. She is so far out there to the left that I think, you know, it's a great matchup. And I think he would beat her easily.
So I can't give his name up because he didn't tell me on camera. I didn't ask if I could say it, but he said to me on Monday, a prominent Democrat, if it's Elizabeth Warren, it's 4 more years of President Trump. And I was shocked by that.
I would agree with that because, as Sarah said, it is going to be the classic contrast between two people who couldn't be greater than 180 degrees apart from each other on virtually every issue. Again, they sound alike when it comes to the diagnosis, but they don't sound anywhere alike when it comes to the fix. And each of them approach this with a fix that is diametrically opposed. And I just don't think the American people want to give up their cars, airplanes, ribeye steaks. I don't think that they want to go and give up their health care and let the government provide it.
I just want you to get this, Sarah. I don't know if you know this or not. President Trump has named State Department envoy Robert O'Brien his new national security advisor.
Replaced
John Bolton. What are your thoughts?
I think he'll do a great job. He's been very successful in helping the president negotiate the return of a number of hostages. I think the most that have ever taken place at this short amount of time. So I think he's going to do a great job. He has a great relationship with Secretary Pompeo, and I think they'll work very well together.
So now Mike Pompeo's got to be pretty happy. Because he's got Mark Esper, Secretary of Defense, didn't he graduate West Point with? Now he's got National Security Advisors considered one of his allies and the Secretary of State. That's something that George Bush didn't have. Constant tension between defense and state, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Be with Colin Powell and Donald Rumsfeld. So I think that could be something positive, especially when we have a, we're upon a crisis here. win a run.
I think it's a great opportunity to move foreign policy and our military strength ahead. I guess I got to go. I've been pushed out. I get it.
Right.
I understand.
But we're going to feature your daughter in the next hour.
Yeah.
Wow.
You, so, I've been thrown out of some mighty nice places, Brian. I don't mind.
You're
going
to have to wait to have breakfast with her. That's
feel,
all.
Feel free to let him stay. He can take the hard questions.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. And right now, get your first online visit totally free when you go to 4hims.com/joy. Sure beats paying for an in-office doctor's appointment, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need to deal with awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe the medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, 4hims.com/joy. That's 4hims.com/joy for your free online visit. F-O-R-H-I-M-S.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender. Member FDIC.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. President Trump set to meet the leader of Ukraine at next week's UN General Assembly.
News of the upcoming meeting comes amid a blow-up here in Washington about a whistleblower's complaint that alleges wrongdoing in a private conversation Mr. Trump had with a foreign leader, reportedly Ukraine's president. President Trump dismissed the complaint as partisan. Separately, Democrats are looking into whether Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani has pressured Ukraine to investigate the activities of Joe Biden's son, who worked for a Ukrainian gas company. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Former Biden himself reacting to those reports.
After the reports leaked out about a whistleblower complaint, presidential candidate and former Vice President Joe Biden issued a statement that if the reports are true, there is truly no bottom to President Trump's willingness to abuse his power and abase our country. Biden is calling on President Trump to release the transcript of his July phone conversation with Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky. Sources told the Associated Press President Trump urged Zelensky to probe the activities of Biden's son Hunter, who worked for a Ukrainian gas company.
That's Jackie Quinn reporting from New York. Another day of protests expected in Hong Kong after a night of violent clashes in which the police used tear gases and rubber rounds against protesters who threw gasoline bombs toward them and set fires in the streets. Transit authorities closed the two intermediate stations on the Airport Express train to guard against a possible disruption. Colombia's president comparing Nicolas Maduro to Serbian war criminal Slobodan Milosevic as he goes on a diplomatic offensive to corral the Venezuelan socialist. Duque making the comments before he left for New York, where he is expected to condemn Maduro before the United Nations General Assembly next week. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Guys, waking up over and over to urinate is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to urinate at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling.
No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free. Call 1-800-424-7126. SuperBeta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now. Call 1-800-424-7126. Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer. 1-800-424-7126. 1-800-424-7126.
The Navy's confirmed the authenticity of three videos taken from its planes that show unidentified objects flying through the air.
Navy spokesman Joseph Gratischer says the videos were taken in 2004 and 2015. Gratischer said the videos have been circulating online and weren't authorized for release, but the footage has prompted the Navy to publicly discuss an ongoing investigation into the sightings. Gratischer said the service is updating guidelines to encourage its pilots to better report the sightings as Navy investigators analyze the information. Gratischer declined to characterize what pilots saw, but he said the sightings seemed to increase with the advent of drone technology. Keith Peters reporting.
A federal judge in Maryland refusing to dismiss gun charges against Coast Guard Lieutenant Christopher Hassan to be tried in October on all four counts of his indictment. He is facing several. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. A California appeals court denying the latest parole bid by Charles Manson follower Leslie Van Houten.
Two of three appellate judges Friday upheld former Governor Jerry Brown's decision to block her parole last year. She's serving a life sentence for helping Manson and others kill a Los Angeles grocer and his wife in August 1969. Current Governor Gavin Newsom again denied her parole in June, saying she's still a threat at age 70. The appellate judges said that Brown's reasoning for denying Van Houten's parole is supported by evidence. He said she has not taken full responsibility for her actions and remains dangerous. Patrick Foss reporting.
Game of Thrones could extend its streak for the series with the most Emmy wins as the Emmy Awards are handed out on Sunday. It currently has 57. It also holds the record for the most Emmys won by a series in a single season with 12. The show achieved that feat in 2015 and again in 2016. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program provides socialization, transportation, and free meals to eligible Native American elders and their spouses. Our program celebrates Native elders through cultural activities, entertainment, exercise, and education. Elders can dine together here and will deliver meals to those who are unable to attend. The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program is free. Discover the services available to you or your elders at readingrancheria.com.
From the Fox News radio studios in New York City, fresh off the set of Fox and Friends, it's America's receptive voice, Brian Kilmeade.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. It's going to be a big hour. Steve Hayes is going to be joining us shortly. In fact, he's coming aboard now, just getting out of the shower. Ed Randall will be with us, one of the finest minds in baseball, with an important message. He hosts a weekly Saturday morning show and is one of the most respected people in Major League Baseball. As we get set to call the regular season, it's only about a week or two left as the Yankees and Houston Astros struggle to find out who's going to have home field advantage in the American League, at least, and maybe the World Series. And then we find out about some other major things that are going to be happening, as well as wild cards. But he's going to be joining us shortly. And what following the breaking news, the president's coming back from the West Coast. There's going to be some significant hearings today, and trade talks begin with China again back here in this country. So let's get to the big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three.
This communication happens between the president and a foreign leader. We don't precisely know when, and we don't know the leader, nor how this individual found out about it. We know that this person was is an intelligence official who worked on the National Security Council staff for some period of time. But whatever it was so alarmed this individual that he or she decided to go through the legal route for reporting it, and that's how we've arrived at that point where we are right now.
So there we go. That's Shane Harris, the Washington Post, talking about another network that President Trump's communication with a foreign leader prompted a whistleblower complaint that has led to a face-off between the intel community and Congress. That happens today.
Number two.
I wanted to show you some of the details of the wall. It'll be over 400 miles, and we think we can get it close to 500 miles by the end of next year, depending on certain terrain conditions.
Well, there you go. The President of the United States on the San Diego border. He believes 500 miles of wall. Okay, the President's building that wall, and where it first was proven to work, San Diego. But how much more can get done, especially in Arizona, where the project has stopped again mysteriously?
Number one.
Ultimately, this was not an attack on the United States. This was an attack on Saudi oil assets.
This attack on the oil refinery, by any reasonable definition, is an act of war. It is attacking the world economy. It's the stability of the oil markets throughout the world.
There they did it. Hardcore proof Iran was behind the massive strike on Saudi Arabia's oil supply. A message to the U.S. and Saudi Arabia? Absolutely. A lack of forceful action will prompt escalating action from Iran. I guarantee it. And we'll talk about the next steps that could be taking place. The president is not eager to get something done, says here are more sanctions. I'm not sure if you think the Iranians are going to just stop, but I'm sure Steve Hayes doesn't feel that way. Steve Hayes, Fox News contributor, former editor-in-chief of the Weekly Standard. He's got another project he's working on with Jonah Goldberg. We'll hear more about. Steve, welcome back.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
Good. What are the president's options on Iran?
You know, I think he's got a wide range of options. None of the options are very attractive at this point. I think he can, as he's inclined to, it seems, ramp up the sanctions and push hard on allies to further strangle the Iranian economy. I think he has some problems with that, some challenges with that, because he's been at odds with many of our allies on how to handle Iran. They didn't want him to pull out of the JCPOA, the Obama administration's Iran deal, and there's been sort of a push and pull about how to handle Iran, particularly with our European allies, ever since that decision. So I think that's a challenging one. And then you have people like Lindsey Graham sort of on the other end who are saying this is an act of war. We should treat it as an act of war, and the response should be serious, and presumably that means some kind of military response. So there's a wide range of options, I think, between those two. It's not an option not to do anything, and I don't really think he has people giving him advice that he should basically stand back and watch it happen.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how emboldened Iran feels as though they think they can do something like this and pull it off. It's a credit to us and our oil production that the whole world market hasn't collapsed. When people talk about pulling out of the deal, Marco Rubio joined me on Fox and Friends today, and he says this strike is exactly why we had to get out of that deal to begin with. Listen to channel number 63.
I think this proves why the Iran deal was so flawed. The Iran deal allows Iran to go ahead and continue to build the missiles they used in this attack. It allows Iran to build those UAVs. It allows Iran to sponsor all those terror groups in the region that want to attack and will eventually attack American troops and American interests in the region. And not only does it allow it, it pays the money that they are using to fund those things. So that's why the president was right to get out of the Iran deal, why it's a terrible deal.
So that's where we stand. President now with a lot of options. He does set up essentially a policing of the waters crew, which is going to consist of the UK, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE, to put our ships in the area to stop Iranians from taking these barges and doing what they've been doing. But do you think the president's going to end up meeting with the president of Iran in New York? Would that be a good move, Steve? I think it would be a terrible move.
Yeah, I think it would be a bad move. It would send all of the wrong signals. I mean, it would effectively be a reward for this kind of behavior. You know, it's been interesting to listen to the proponents of the Obama administration's Iran deal, particularly former Obama administration officials, act as if history began with the Iran deal, you know, and now deciding that this is all Donald Trump's fault because this is Iran responding to the United States pulling out of the Iran deal. I mean, the problem with the Iran deal in the first place, building on what Marco Rubio told you, is that it required the United States to ignore the nature of the Iranian regime.
Yep.
And we there's never been really a secret about the nature of the Iranian regime. Remember, the Iranians were killing American soldiers. They were attacking U.S. interests. They were attacking our allies. They were sponsoring terrorism for decades before the JCPOA was signed. So the idea that this is some kind of a departure and that this marks Iran's response to this decision that Donald Trump made, I think, is very short-sighted. And a politically convenient argument for them to make.
Steve Hayes with us. Steve, there's a big story, this whistleblower story that the Washington Post has. It says there's somebody who was so concerned in the intelligence community, the president speaking to another world leader about intelligence who was given away. They became a whistleblower. The DNI, the acting director will be on Capitol Hill today. How big a deal was this story?
I think this story is potentially a huge deal, and whichever way it falls, it's not a good development. I mean, either you have somebody who was rightly alarmed at the actions or the promises, as the Washington Post reported this morning, that the president was making, that he was justified in saying, this is so unprecedented, this is so problematic that I have to take this to my superiors, I have to blow the whistle here. In that case, I think it's a huge problem. We need to know what the president said or did. On the other hand, it's certainly been the case that we've seen eager intelligence officials. I mean, this was certainly the case in my battles with intelligence officials during the Obama administration, who have acted in pretty political ways. This would not be unprecedented. And if it's the case that this is somebody just reporting on a conversation that the president had with a foreign advisor, I mean, a foreign leader, and this intelligence official, you know, just happens to disagree with what the president is concluding, the policies the president is attempting to implement, and makes this the ordeal that it's become, that's a problem in and of itself. Either way, we're likely to see a further diminution of trust between the intelligence community and the president and his supporters.
It's just amazing that somebody always – there's always another major unprecedented story that no one's anything like it. Just when the Russia thing ends or some other controversy comes up, in comes another story that that needs immediate addressing. We also know this, the DNI's general counsel, Jason Kalitnik, I don't know if you know him or not, he said he noted in the letter sent to congressional leaders on Tuesday the activity is at the root of the complaint involves confidential and potentially privileged communications, but did not think it was that big of a deal. But now the acting DNI director goes to Capitol Hill in front of Adam Schiff, who I don't know if you know it or not, tends to be political by nature. So this is going to get bigger. Even if he doesn't answer the questions, it's going to get bigger.
Right. It's going to get bigger. And I mean, part of the problem is the disclosure of whatever this – we're going to find out, I think, that, you know, what the it is here. And the disclosure of that could be problematic. I mean, you don't want the president's secret phone calls with foreign leaders discussed in an open setting. I mean, foreign leaders will feel unwilling to share information with the president in future calls. Again, on the other hand, we have seen this president disclose things to foreign leaders that he shouldn't have disclosed, and things that I think are problematic. If he did it again, that's its own problem. This is really, you know, this is one of these things where I think we are, however this unfolds, in sort of unprecedented territory, and it's what makes it so worrisome, particularly when we've got the roiling of, you know, international problems throughout the world, really, right now, that deserve our kind of focused attention.
Yeah, here's what the Washington Post reporter said on another network today, Cut 38.
The House Intelligence Committee has said publicly that they believe that this whistleblower was going to the Inspector General about something that may have been a matter of investigation before the committee. Well, I mean, the big matter before the House Intelligence Committee, of course, has been the Russia investigation. There are other areas, too. That kind of helps us narrow it down. But this really is the world that we're in right now, is trying to deduce and sort of play 20 questions around this and put together the puzzle pieces. I just think it's so striking that we now know this involves directly the President of the United States and a communication, and starts to explain a lot of the really unusual activity, the keeping from Congress, the assertions of privilege, and other things that we've seen.
And we'll see. We'll see where this goes. Steve, what are you working on?
I've been following that story as well, and then I'm also looking at the way the Democrats are campaigning across the country. You look at the kind of things that they've said, that they said in the climate change town hall, the kinds of proposals that we're seeing them roll out. Pete Buttigieg has a new Medicare for All Who Want It proposal that he laid out in the Washington Post op-ed today. We're seeing the continued pull of the Democratic Party to the left. The center of gravity of the Democratic Party is on the left. I think it's likely that their nominee will be somebody who speaks well to those issues. And it frames up, I think, the coming contest in a way that is helpful to Donald Trump. And Donald Trump wants this election to be about choosing him or choosing, you know, a lefty-slash-socialist Democratic Party. And Democrats seem to be doing everything they can to fit that framing.
All right, Steve Hayes, thanks so much. Fox News contributor. And I look forward – when are we going to hear more about your project with Jonah Goldberg?
Pretty soon. We're going to start talking about it in a couple of weeks. I'd be happy to come back on and share some information about it. We're excited about it.
All right. It's going to be great. I know the two personalities, two big intellects. What could possibly go wrong? Two great beards. Steve,
a little gray, but
yeah, not anymore. You can change that very quick. I've seen the commercials. Stephen Hayes, thanks so much. Hey, when we come back, your phone calls, 1-866-408-7669. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Giving you everything you need to know. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Termbusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Attention military service members. If you or a loved one used dual-sided combat arms earplugs during active duty between 2003 and 2015 and then suffered tinnitus, ringing in ears, or hearing loss, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Contact Thomas J. Henry today for a free and confidential consultation. Dial #250 and say combat veteran. That's #250 combat veteran. Call Thomas J. Henry now and get the money you deserve. Principal office in San Antonio, Texas. You'll have the option to receive a one-time auto-dial text message.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday, Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM. 6 p.m., North State Now.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1992.
Today, we have closed the book on apartheid, and that chapter is finally closed.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
It's sad to see the community that I grew up in go up in flames like this. It really is.
I just want to say, you know, can we all get along? Can we get along?
Doesn't help matters when primetime TV has Murphy Brown, a character who supposedly epitomizes today's intelligent, highly paid professional woman, mocking the importance of fathers by bearing a child alone.
It has been an honor and a privilege to come into your homes all these years and entertain you. I bid you a very heartfelt good night.
Wayne County, as we know it, especially from the Kendall area south, is never going to be the same. It is fundamentally destroyed.
News as it happened then.
News as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk. He'll make your head spin. It's Brian Kilmeade.
The president's made clear he's interested in any meaningful and workable measures that can provide greater security to the American people, protect them against crime. And I've been up here gathering perspective, kicking around some ideas, so I'm in a better position to advise the president. He himself has not made any firm decision on any particular proposal at this stage.
That is a little of the gun legislation the Attorney General's open ears about. Now, the NRA gets panicky. This is not going to be the case. Republicans, how dare he do that? It's the Attorney General sounding out all sides. I mean, people got to relax a little bit. The president says he's open to it. So this whole talk of guns and something coming out this week seemed like a certainty on Sunday. But here we are on Thursday, and nothing's been rolled out yet. Now, by doing nothing, I don't think that works politically for the president either or rationally. I think there's some basic things that we could do to make us a little bit safer after Dayton, Odessa, El Paso, and everything that came prior to that. And I think suburban women, if you want to just be pure, hardcore politics, suburban women, especially in Ohio, after Dayton, want something done. But the president, with Ed Henry at the border, didn't seem like he was in much of a rush. Cut 44.
Your Justice Department a couple weeks ago gave you a package, legislative package. You might move on it Thursday. What are you going to do?
No, we're not moving on anything. We're going very slowly in one way because we want to make sure it's right. We're doing a very careful job. We're working with the Democrats. We're working with Republicans. Our Attorney General has done a fantastic job in so many ways, is also in on it, and he's looking at it.
So the NRA is going a little crazy on this, but they are in disarray compared to where they used to. Extremely popular for a while, about 50-50 right now in terms of overall popularity. But listen to what Pat Toomey said, who's worked with Democrats to get something done. Pennsylvania, extremely valuable. Pat Toomey, extremely conservative. Cut 48.
Rather than speculate about if or when it loses momentum, I'm focused on trying to accomplish something here, which is expanding background checks so we keep guns out of the hands of people who shouldn't have them.
And that could be person to person. And we'll see. I mean, we got that square right now. If you have a garage sale, people come up with it and want to buy your pool table, you can swipe and you have a merchant number. You register. I mean, could you do the same thing with an app the president talked about when it comes to background checks? The Johnsons want to sell to the Andersons a gun. They got 24. They want to sell the 25th to them. Their friends, they think they know them, but they don't want to vouch for them. So you take the money, you make sure you pass the background check, and then you're done. It's off your conscience. To me, that makes sense. For Ben Dominich, he's with the Federalist. He's all about liberty and being a libertarian. He said this, cut 50.
I think this is somewhat real, but it's also very politically risky. The president needs the support of American gun owners, and he needs it in a strong way in order to win re-election. It's hard to see these kind of proposals as going over very well with gun owners. We're very concerned that this type of background check legislation will ultimately lead to a national firearm registry, a database that they believe could be used against them by the government. I think there are a lot of questions that need to be answered, and there needs to be a real judgment on the part of Republicans in Congress and the White House about whether this is too much of a risk for too little gain.
Well, we'll see. My fear is if both sides are sincerely looking to do something, they're not going to vilify the other. So if you go out and you're the president of the United States and say, okay, Chris Murphy, okay, Chris Coons, this is what I'll do. I'm going to put this forward. Now they come out and they say, listen, I appreciate what the president's doing. I wish he did a little bit more, but I support what he's doing. That's fine. But if they come out and vilify, say, I can't get behind it, the president's just doing cursory things that don't matter, the president will say, wait, I got the NRA mad at me, I got a lot of Republicans mad at me, I got conservatives mad at me, I got libertarians mad at me, and the Democrats tell me this is not good enough. Why'd I do it? And I have an election to win, and I really can't afford to lose a single voter, especially in Pennsylvania, especially in Wisconsin, especially in Iowa. He wants to turn over New Hampshire, and my goodness, Texas. Who knows the direction Texas is going? So Marsha Blackburn hopped on Fox News at Night with Shannon yesterday, cut 49.
What we do know is that not any of us want someone who's a danger to themselves or others to have access to any kind of weapon, firearm included. We also realize that it is important to address this issue and not take away Second Amendment rights. People who are every day exercising their Second Amendment rights and doing it within the law, we ought not to affect them and their ability to exercise that right. What we have to put our attention on is some of the mental health issues.
And we'll do that. We'll take calls when we get back. I know this is a red hot issue. 1-866-408-7669. The main objective, make everybody safer while not infringing on anybody's rights. Can we do it? Should we? Brian Kilmeade Show. It's a busy Thursday. Don't move.
Laws continue to tighten up across the country. Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo. 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
After a Soviet arms buildup in Cuba, President John Kennedy addressed the American people with the world on the brink.
This sudden, clandestine decision to station strategic weapons for the first time outside of Soviet soil is a deliberately provocative and unjustified change in the status quo, which cannot be accepted by this country. If our courage and our commitments are ever to be trusted again by either friend or foe, the 1930s taught us a clear lesson. Aggressive conduct, if allowed to go unchecked and unchallenged, ultimately leads to war. This nation is opposed to war. We are also true to our word. Our unswerving objective, therefore, must be to prevent the use of these missiles against this or any other country, and to secure their withdrawal or elimination from the Western Hemisphere.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
This is Fox on Justice. The death penalty is controversial. Some believe capital punishment is appropriate for certain heinous crimes, including murder. Others consider execution to be inhumane and advocate instead for life without parole. In short, lock them up and throw away the key. Now a voice has been raised against life prison sentences. The voice belongs to Pope Francis. Speaking to Italian prison guards, the Pope said life in prison without the possibility of parole is not the solution to problems, but a problem to solve. The Pope said society must protect its citizens, but also must seek ways to rehabilitate criminals and help them contribute to society. Everyone has the right to hope, says Pope Francis. Making someone pay for the errors of the past should not mean canceling their hope for a future. The Pope's comments are likely to stir up new criticism by some Catholics and others who feel his progressive views are not in step with their beliefs. With Fox on Justice, Hank Weinblum, Fox News.
A radio show like no other. It's Brian Kilmeade.
In sports, a rash of quarterback injuries in the NFL could set the stage for Colin Kaepernick to make a comeback. He hasn't played since 2016, but his agent has reportedly contacted teams searching for a QB, saying Kaepernick is ready to return. One source says he's in the best shape of his life.
Yeah, of course Colin Kaepernick is in the best shape of his life. He hasn't played football since 2016. Football is the only sport where not playing makes you healthier. Yeah. He'll be on the field like, ha-ha, my brain damage is 3 years behind you guys. Ha-ha. I do think it would be great if Kaepernick came back to play, you know, both for him and the NFL, because he'd be great for ratings since everyone would tune in to see if he kneels. And he won't be a challenge for the other teams because they know how to beat him. Every time he snaps the ball, the defense will just sing the national anthem and then he'll be forced to kneel. Yeah, forget defenders. Other teams will just get Carrie Underwood. Sing it now. Sing it.
There you go. Colin Kaepernick, they say he trains every day at 5 o'clock in the morning. Bernie and Sid don't think so. This is Bernie McGurk and Sid Rosenberg, the same ones from Bernie and Sid in the Morning on 77 WABC, one of the hottest morning shows in the country, in studio. Great to see you guys.
You too. We love you.
What's happening?
Well, listen, I can tell you that Colin does train every day. I know where he trains. He trains in at the Chelsea Piers. Which
really?
Is a, yes, every day. Has an apartment in Tribeca. Did spend time in July throwing the football for an hour to Odell Beckham Jr. So he does stay in shape. He's had multiple opportunities, Brian, to sign with teams in the past like the Baltimore Ravens, the Miami Dolphins. But he always does something stupid to shoot himself in the foot. So even with all the injuries, Ben Roethlisberger, Steelers out for the year, Drew Brees out for 6 weeks, plenty of big-time quarterbacks going down.
About Mono with the Jets.
Sam Darnold with the Jets. I still believe that Colin Kaepernick will not get a job in this league because, quite frankly, he's a cancer. He's a PR nightmare. Whether he can play or not at this point doesn't even matter. Who the hell wants this guy on their team? Who?
Long live Betsy Ross.
Right. Okay. Very good point. Yeah. I know what you're talking about with the 13 stars.
Can't slip nothing past BK.
But here's the thing. Bernie, you tell me if I'm wrong here.
Yes.
He's more valuable if he never plays again. Because the guy who got to, for his longtime brand, I mean, Jim Brown walks away at 29, and everyone thought he was coming back. He never did. He left at the Zenith as a world champion. And then this guy leaves around the same time. We forget that he lost his job to Gabbert. Gail Gabbert, I think.
Blaine Gabbert, excuse me. Even worse.
He lost his job, and people say that's why he was sitting on the bench, because he was, like, pouting.
Yeah, he was.
And during the national anthem.
Right, and he almost he had an opportunity with the Dolphins, which he blew by wearing a Fidel Castro shirt.
That's right.
But I don't know what you mean. You think?
No,
you
I think he's right. He's right. And the point that if he's going to keep going out there and talking about the injustices and how he's been wronged, and Eric Reed is going to do the same thing, once he plays, Bernie, he loses some of that leverage. Now he's played in the NFL. As long as he's being, quote-unquote, blackmailed and kept out of the league,
he's got to.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So the day he takes a snap, that's over. So if he's really serious about what he's been preaching for the last couple of years, which we know he's not, he's actually very disingenuous, you're exactly right, Brian. Exactly right.
Well, I mean, could you put him with the Saints for a few weeks? If you put him to it behind with an established starter, I mean, for example, Doug Flutie was behind Tom Brady. Doug Flutie went behind a non-established starter. So that's why people were chanting his name, and he was the ultimate distraction. And everyone used that analogy. He was a positive distraction, but everyone thought he was too short. And
right. But listen, if Kenny Stills is still kneeling, when he goes back, he would have to still take a knee as well, and that wouldn't sit well with anybody.
I totally agree. Stills, of course, got traded by the Dolphins right before the start of the season, to emphasize Bernie's point, to the Houston Texans because Steve Ross got sick and tired of his guys, A, publicly bashing him after putting on that nice little event for Donald Trump in the Hamptons, and B, kneeling. So he got rid of those types of guys. I don't think the NFL really wants that stuff again. I really don't.
Right. Are the Miami Dolphins playing tackle football? Are they still, I've never seen a team tanking football.
I actually picked them with the spread the last 2 weeks and lost both. It was like 20 points or something like that.
They set a record. No team has ever lost by as many points. They lost week one to the Baltimore Ravens, 59-10. They followed that up with a 43-0 loss to the Patriots. They've been outscored 102-10. No one has ever been that inept in the history of the NFL, and they aren't tanking, hoping to get the number one pick at quarterback next year.
They're setting themselves up for a big comeback, trust me when I tell you.
You know what they're going to do, Bernie? They're going to go back to the lottery system the NBA has. Because the worst team can no longer get the first pick, or else it's going to happen over and over again.
Either that or they're going to be like the 69 Mets all over again. I mean, it could be a miraculous season.
Are you predicting 14-2?
Go for it, Bernie.
Yes,
come on.
I am. Hey, listen. Right here, right now on the Brian Kilmeade Show.
When he sat with me in those studios and predicted Donald Trump was going to win the presidency, there were as many people who thought that was about as ridiculous as the Dolphins going 14-2. And Bernie was right.
Thank you.
What do you think, Corey? Do you think the Corey Lewandowski testimony went well?
Oh, my God. I mean, everything, these Democrats, it backfired, of course, obviously, like the Mueller testimony, like the Michael Cohen testimony, like the John Dean testimony. Donald Trump is like, he's like the roadrunner, and the Democrats are like Wile E. Coyote. Everything they try to do to capture Trump, blows up in their face.
So, Guy, what did you do this morning? What was your main topic?
Well, let me
say this. Did you try to get away from politics?
No, we don't. In fact, we actually had Corey Lewandowski on our show yesterday. Yeah. I know he was on with you guys in the morning. You guys were great. You're always great. He was on with us afterwards. But, no, we do a ton of politics every single most of
we
the show.
We had Sean Spicer on today. We That's had right. Bill O'Reilly on today. And we talked politics. We talked about the climate strike that the kids in the city, that de Blasio is pushing on the kids in New York City. He's actually urging them to go out to take
to
off,
cut school
to cut
yeah.
school, take a day off, and go down to Battery Park. Now, you can't verify that you got your parents' permission because they can forge the signature. You can't certify that they're going to be at the event itself. They're just going to be hanging out in the hood, smoking their jewels, and, you know, God knows what else.
My daughter is actually going. My daughter goes to a high school. She goes to a high school in Midtown, and she's actually going. She is not as crazy as some of the folks that say the world is coming to an end in a couple of months. We're all going to die, folks.
But your daughter thinks this world is on a respirator.
She doesn't think it's on a respirator. Again, not that serious, but she does think we need to start to take some measures to make sure we stop destroying the Earth. She's actually level-headed.
And by the way,
she's going to be a guest on our show tomorrow morning.
She's only in the first grade. No, actually, she's a junior. He gave her permission to go.
I did, yeah. Because, again, I like where she's coming from. She's not hysterical. She's not yelling and screaming the world is coming to an end. But she does say there are some things we need to do to make sure that we don't hurry up this process, which, you know, plastic straws, whatever nonsense. I don't know. To me, I think it's all ridiculous.
Brian, they're being brainwashed, indoctrinated early on. And de Blasio needs to be, people are pushing it as though the issue was settled the way they're pushing it. And these kids are, by osmosis, they're picking it all up. I don't know if you saw that girl testifying yesterday on Capitol Hill from Seattle. I mean, they're humorless. They're angry. These kids. And they're certain that the world is going to end in 10 to 12 years. They're cocksure that it's going to end in 10 to 12 years. And they're angry.
Yeah.
And they're all being taught that.
You may as well vote for Joe Biden. It's over anyway.
But we'll put it this way. When they talk about this new Green Deal, like, why wasn't ABC, any one of these guys on ABC, just say, what a part of the new Green Deal do you subscribe to?
Yeah.
I mean, the elimination of airplanes, it's not a joke. We laugh about it, but
right.
it is in the plan.
I know.
And look at all those people that showed up on the Capitol steps to say, and they say it's aspirational. In what way is it aspirational?
It's insane. From like you're talking about destroying big apartment buildings, taking planes out of the air.
No more glass.
No more glass.
No more hamburgers.
You can't go to Peter Luger, get a decent steak. I mean, are you kidding me?
Well, I think that is allowed. I think
you sure
did.
About that?
Yeah, I'm
not.
But just Luger?
Yeah.
But you ask why they're not held to account. Or,
yeah.
Because it's Don Lemon. It's George Stephanopoulos, the Hillary Clinton shill who used to work for Bill Clinton. Beady-eyed sneak, George Stephanopoulos. Pardon me for saying it. My words, not yours, Brian. But that's why, because they're in the tank for these people. They don't want to put them on the spot. You know that.
You know, it's unbelievable. If you're a good candidate, you want the tough question.
Yes.
I mean, you don't want an easy question. You want these questions to separate yourself. And in the end, if you say about the new Green Deal, you say there's climate change. What are you willing to sacrifice? And the main thing people always bring up is, how'd you get here? Private plane. Really? So I can't fly on American, but you can fly on NetJet.
Sure.
I mean,
yeah.
How does that work?
I mean, Bill de Blasio is the first guy to say how much he loves the new Green Deal, and he takes these SUVs into Brooklyn to run on a treadmill. One guy, he hasn't lost a pound, by the way, in about 10 years. I don't know what workout he's doing, but this guy takes an SUV back and forth to Brooklyn every single day and touts the Green New Deal. I mean, how hypocritical can you be? How stupid do you think we are?
Not as I do, and of course, they're taking their orders from the ISIS bride-like squad members. They're all afraid of them. They're terrified, and that's why they're towing that line.
Glad you brought that up, because those anti-Semites, I've got an event tonight. You would like this. Have you ever interviewed a girl named Elizabeth Pipko?
No.
Okay. She's in charge of a group called the Exodus Movement, and what she's trying to do is convince the Jewish people to stop voting for the Democrats. I'm Jewish, I can say that. Stop voting for these Democrats. They are loaded with anti-Semites and, at the very least, enablers. Folks like Chuck Schumer, Engel, who stand Max Rose, they stand idly by as these ladies say what they're saying. So anyway, the movement is called the Exodus Movement. Big dinner tonight. Andrea Kasimidis is going to speak. I'm going to speak. And Lara Trump. Donald Trump's daughter-in-law is going to speak tonight,
because
so it's a big deal.
And the President of the United States has been frustrated. He said, listen, is there a better friend to Israel than me? than I have.
Exactly.
And remember how Benjamin Netanyahu was never invited, forced to leave out the back door.
Sure.
Barack Obama had something like 18% approval rating, or maybe 9% approval rating inside Israel. But yet the American Jewish community does not embrace Trump.
It doesn't make any sense. It seems almost suicidal, right? At least to the state of Israel.
Now, do you still speak for all Irish Americans?
Well, you see, that's why I look to him to speak for the Jewish, but I do speak for the Irish people. Yes, I do.
And what are the?
I know you consider yourself Italian with a name Kilmeade, but
no. But what do your people?
Away with that.
What do your people want?
My people.
I mean,
we just want a nice steak and potato dinner and a couple of beers.
What's
wrong with that?
But they still hate the English. Just so you know, they still hate the UK.
But we still carry a chip on our shoulder because, look.
He also, for some reason, he's Irish. He's got something with Bono, which I think is, because I think Bono's the greatest Irishman ever. But what is, what was Bono, what was the statement about him? You told me this morning on there was hilarious.
Oh, what's the difference between Bono and Jesus?
What is it?
Jesus doesn't walk around Dublin thinking he's God.
Wow, that's fantastic. Hey, by the way, Bernie and Sid are here because I invited them, but more importantly, they're here because they want you from around the country to go to their night of comedy that's coming up on September 26th. It's at the Hard Rock Cafe, located at 1501 Broadway. It's going to be a great night. One of the funniest guys around, Jackie the Joke Man, is going to be there. Rob Magnotti is going to be there, and you guys are going to be on stage. Do you guys have an act? Or are you just introducing?
No, we actually have material. We have writers. It's a big, we're funny anyway. We're just naturally funny, as you know. And the show is funny every day. It doesn't take much for us to be a little funnier for 7 minutes. So we have a whole writer staff, and we're going to just knock them down. And by the way, I was told earlier, as Bernie was as well, that you're going to be there that night.
There's people, my people are talking to some other people that says I might be there.
Oh, that would be great.
Let me just say this. You hide it well, but I hear you used to be a stand-up comic yourself.
That hurts. Yeah, I had it well. I don't think I got that.
He processed it for a second or two.
When we come back.
You know I just.
I'm not really sure you do. The doors open at 6. They close at 7. Is that correct?
That's correct. Right.
All right. The show starts at 7. Excuse me.
See, that's funny.
Right. All right. See, I stumbled into something there, Bernie. I have potential. Back in a moment.
Educating. Entertaining. Enlightening. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
Hi, I'm Johnny Bench for Blue Emu. Every pain relief product claims their new ingredient will help, but Blue Emu is the number one emu oil brand every year for a reason. Don't trust hype, trust consistency. Choose Blue Emu. It works fast, and you won't stink.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Termbusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
Attention military service members. If you or a loved one used dual-sided combat arms earplugs during active duty between 2003 and 2015 and then suffered tinnitus, ringing in ears, or hearing loss, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Contact Thomas J. Henry today for a free and confidential consultation. Dial #250 and say combat veteran. That's #250 combat veteran. Call Thomas J. Henry now and get the money you deserve. Principal office in San Antonio, Texas. You'll have the option to receive a one-time auto-dial text message.
Hall of Fame catcher here, Johnny Bench for Blue Emu. After 10 gold gloves, I know when I've made a great catch. Blue Emu has supported my healthy muscles and joints for over 15 years. Blue Emu works fast, and you won't stink. Available at retailers nationwide.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
In Pennsylvania, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit in a 3-0 decision ruled that Lehigh County's seal featuring a cross does not violate the First Amendment's Establishment Clause. The ruling came about after the Supreme Court's decision to keep an historical and symbolic monument, the Blandensburg Memorial Cross, in Maryland. Likewise, the cross on the seal signifies the religious freedom that German settlers experienced after fleeing from religious persecution from their homeland. Let's all thank the Lord for another big win for the First Amendment.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
The more you'll know. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Brian Kilmeade Show. It's my privilege to have in one of the hottest morning shows in the country. I'm lucky enough to be on WABC right after them from 10 to noon right here in New York City, where Fox News World Headquarters is. Bernie and Sid are here. Bernie McGurk and Sid Rosenberg, they're excited because a night of charity, you're giving back, right?
Yeah, we are. And giving the fans something to laugh about. You know, there's so much serious stuff going on every single day. And you covered as well as anybody, Brian, if not better than anybody, that every once in a while to just laugh for a couple of hours. It's cathartic. We need it. And that's what we're going to do for about 3 hours next Thursday night.
Peerless Boilers is presenting a night of comedy. This is how many years you've been doing this, counting this year?
Two.
Second annual coming up.
So this will be the second.
Yeah. That's right.
Counting last year is two total.
Well, we started doing this when we took over for Don Imus. Imus in the Morning. That was 2 years
right.
ago. So.
I thought we'd have a bunch of stories looking back at decades. This is only
this
2 years.
This is simple
that's
math.
That's
it.
That's
not even
annual.
A tradition. So this, if this doesn't go well, you're never doing it again.
That's right.
Right. So this is a night of comedy, and they believe they're very funny, and they believe they're going to have a great act, right? Oh,
yes.
No. Actually, Sid's the only one who said that. Bernie, you have not confirmed that you're you have an act.
I'm just going to do Roddy Dangerfield impersonation and jokes. So that's it. I'm going to steal his entire act for like 10, 15 minutes.
He's actually, all kidding aside, Brian, he's really funny.
Oh, no kidding.
We actually sat in one night. They honored us at the Friars Club.
Yeah.
And we showed up with nothing, and we had nothing. Didn't even talk about it beforehand. We were on for about an hour, and Bernie really killed it. He's done comedy. He's very, very funny.
Right.
Now he's making me blush. This guy.
You have never blushed. You couldn't be more pale. WABCRadio.com/show/ Bernie and Sid for tickets. So and it's going to be right at Hard Rock, right in Midtown Manhattan. Meanwhile, guys, you did a 3-hour show, right?
Four-hour
show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're on with me for a half hour. Find out if you need to know more.
Oh, I love this.
More to know.
Taylor Swift is talking, finally, on being obsessed with politics. Here's the quote. I keep trying to learn as much as I can about politics. It's become something I'm obsessed with, whereas before I was living sort of a political ambivalence because the person I voted for had always won, meaning Barack Obama. That's only two elections, by the way. We were in such an amazing time when Obama was president because foreign nations respected us. Do you buy that?
No.
Did foreign
no.
nations respected us?
No, she's wrong about it, obviously. She's virtue signaling. Look, she was beat up for a long time, pressured into coming out and taking a political stance, and that's what this is, to continue to sell records, because otherwise...
Yeah.
She'd just be black.
I actually made the mistake this year of watching the VMA Awards because I love Sebastian Maniscalco, who was in the wrong place at the wrong time, so he didn't come off funny, but he was funny. So I watched her win all these awards, and she would bring up a gaggle of LGBTQ people every time she won an award and take shots at Donald Trump in the White House. I went from loving Taylor Swift, don't love her so much anymore.
If you are her record producer, if you have any type of product with her, you must be so angry.
Yes.
Because you're telling 60 million people that you despise them.
That's right.
But
she's
just a young girl who caved. Again, she was pressured big time.
You think she's pressured?
She has been, yes. It's well documented that demanded that she came out and take a stance against Trump, this, that, the other. And she finally did.
Can you tell me, can you produce some document, Allison, that shows if Bernie can back this up?
It is true. It's true.
Next. Baltimore restaurant's dress code accused of discrimination. The quote is, this is racist as hell. Let's look at the dress code at this Baltimore restaurant. It is, baseball hats must be worn forward. Is that racist? Pants must be worn at the waist.
Oh, that's...
I guess no offensive, vulgar, inappropriate language or attire.
That's
racist?
Does
this scream racist?
Well, the third one is certainly not exclusive to black people.
Right.
I'm from Brooklyn.
Or Hispanic or anything.
But the first two, you know, when you start wearing your pants. Listen, I'm on the subway every single day, and I see guys' underwear down to their knee, and then I see the pants at their knees. I'm going to be honest with you, like 85% of those people happen to be African-American.
Yeah, but African-Americans themselves, adult African-Americans, want them to pull up their pants.
Absolutely.
So it's not, I saw Charles Payne once out there like that. Right, I'm not sure.
Never before would you have seen Charles Payne like that. Next, Antonio Brown is on the Patriots, and guess what? He cleared one legal hurdle. Quote, our office, along with Allegheny County Police Department, made contact with the counsel for the plaintiff, and so far he seems to be okay. Brittany Taylor's bringing a civil lawsuit against him. The NFL so far is still examining this. Guys, how long will Antonio Brown play?
Hopefully not long. Look,
you don't like him?
Just the text messages alone that he sent to her. To me, he's a bad, he's a creep. He's a lowlife, a dirtbag, and I hate the guy.
Sid, he's 31, playing to the best team in football.
And he's one of the best wide receivers in the history of the game. And his dad, I went to college with, the great former Cincinnati Bengal, Miami Hurricane Eddie Brown, was a great player, too. Listen, he's a bad guy. He's a bad teammate. But being a bad teammate in the NFL, whether it's Oakland or Pittsburgh, is not as bad as raping somebody.
Thanks, guys. Bernie and Sid.
Thank you.
Attention military service members. If you or a loved one used dual-sided combat arms earplugs during active duty between 2003 and 2015 and then suffered tinnitus, ringing ears, or hearing loss, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Contact Thomas J. Henry today for a free and confidential consultation. Dial #250 and say combat veteran. That's #250 combat veteran. Call Thomas J. Henry now and get the money you deserve. Principal office in San Antonio, Texas. You'll have the option to receive a one-time auto-dial text message.
Whenever it rains, it's hard not to think about all the folks right here in our community who have no roofs over their heads, no way to dry off, no relief from the storm. Wouldn't it be nice to give them a dry place to sleep tonight, or a warm cup of soup, or just a simple umbrella? Well, you can by giving to the Salvation Army, where every donation fights for good. Visit givewestwood.org now to help fund programs that provide shelter, food, and hope to our
purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.